You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Wait a minute. Let me through, officer. My name's Denham.
Just a moment. Oh, Lieutenant.
Lieutenant, I'm Carl Denham. Carl Denham?
Denham? Oh, that's the man that captured the monster.
Well, Denham, the airplane's got him. Oh, no. It wasn't the airplanes. It was Beauty killed the beast.
It's the Chris Crespo radio show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
First, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
So we might as well have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
What's up, guys? How's it going? Welcome to episode 208 of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, Chris Crespo, Orlando's number one film critic. That's right, it's me. I'm back, guys. We're doing this first episode of 2017. We have your threat update, the first threat update for 2017. The current threat level is moccasin. Stand by to redirect your supposed loyalties. That is correct. Before I introduce everyone here with me, let's get into the top downloads for December 2016. And obviously in the U.S., Florida is our number one most downloaded place because we're from Florida, but this is Florida's number one movie podcast. But rounding out the list of top 10, Massachusetts, California, Iowa, New York, Colorado, Illinois, Texas, Pennsylvania, Missouri, North Carolina. Shout out to all you guys. Hold it down internationally. Top 10 downloads, United Kingdom, Ireland, Sweden, Canada, France, Netherlands, Republic of Korea. How's it going, guys? Germany, Vietnam, Australia. We see you down there, down under.
Is that the Democratic Republic of Korea?
No, just Republic of Korea.
Oh, I was going to say, there's no way.
Not the other one. Not the People's Democratic.
Hey, you never know, man. Maybe.
No.
Maybe Kim Jong-un was like, hey, I want to know about American movies. Listen to these motherfuckers.
Well, if anyone can access Cinema Crespo, so it would be King.
It's mandated.
In which case, if Kim Jong-un is listening, go fuck yourself. You suck. I don't have to obey your rules, man. This is America. This is America.
Think marketing, though. I mean, he might be a huge fan and forcing people to listen to your show.
I was about to say, we could be the official podcast.
Of North Korea? No.
Just sell out now and take it.
You don't want to get imagine your face up in North Korean flag.
Nah. I mean, I'm sure it'll be easier to do in Trump's America, but
you don't
want to
get the Dennis Rodman treatment out there? Like, they fly you out.
They did give him the bomb treatment over there.
That could be us.
Give you pre.
Do we want that to be us, though? I don't think we want that to be us.
They could make movies specifically for you to watch.
Can we pick a different human rights denier regime to get behind? I feel like North Korea, that's kind of obvious. Can we? Libya? How are things going in Libya? Not good.
I was about to say, any of those Middle Eastern ones, those guys, they got some cash over there.
We got some downloads. We got some downloads in Algeria. How are things in Algeria? Bad?
Very.
You never hear anything good about Algeria.
Very. No. Very bad.
Anyone?
That's what I'm saying. Like, they make it look so good, though. If you go to North Korea, have you seen, what is the documentary out there? Is that documentary?
Which one? The Vice one with Dennis Rodman. They did that one, and then
there's the other one where they kept the cameras rolling through the mock stuff, and it would catch people crying, like being forced to say
certain things. Because they will present a fake North Korea into your face, and you have to like look behind the curtain. Yes. Absolutely. I do want to. I saw a photo series a couple months ago that someone smuggled, like they secretly took a bunch of pictures and then smuggled it out. But I would like to see an actual documentary about that too.
I think I'll have to find it.
I want to see North Koreans crying. I want to see that. let's introduce some people. Drewsa Coghran is here, ladies and gentlemen. Orlando's number one Drewsa Coghran. How you doing, dude?
The world's number one
Drewsa World's number one Drewsa Coghran. You can't a better one.
You find another Drewsa Coghran, let me know.
Let us know.
I'll whoop his ass.
If you can find another Drewsa Coghran, Drewsa Coghran will whoop his ass. And if you can find a better movie podcast from Florida, go fuck yourself. Exactly. Those are the two mandates of Cinema Across Belize on 2017. With us as a returning guest, I believe this is his seventh time at least here on the show. It's got to be. I can double check that real quick. But he is here, podcasting veteran Chico.
What's going on, folks?
How you doing, buddy?
First guest of the year.
Yes,
awesome. Well, on the first day of the year.
Yeah,
first
absolutely.
Day of the year, first guest of the year.
That's a good sign. That's a good sign. Let's see. You were on last. You were actually here a couple months ago for 197. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is appearance number 7.
Number 7
for you, which puts you right behind. We got to keep track of this year. Etchy, who's been on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times.
8 times. Chasing Etchy down.
You're chasing Etchy down. Who himself?
He's trying to be number 1.
Trying to be number 1. Everyone's still trying to catch up to SBK. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times SBK was on the show.
I haven't been on the show in like a year.
I know.
Crazy, right?
You're plus.
Crazy, right? We're
gonna have to go, still number one.
We're going to have to take that shit to Tampa. We're going to have to go track him down, bring some mobile equipment, and get some recordings done with him. But thank you very much for joining us, sir, on
thank
here
you guys for having me,
the though. Beginning of the year. Happy New Year to you.
You too.
I know you're struggling a bit after a good night, I a will. Good New Year's
yeah,
Eve.
I'll survive. It'll wear off as we go.
That's how it
got
goes.
Got the coffee going.
You do have the coffee going. What are you drinking there?
This is a cold brew. Like sweet cream cold brew.
Oh, the cold brew. Isn't that a little extra caffeinated, I think?
I have no idea.
A little more nitrogenated?
It will get you nice and jittery. Yeah, it'll give you the jitters. Or if you're hungover, it'll get you right.
It'll get you right.
I love getting right and getting the jitters. Seemingly, they both go hand in hand. How's that happen? Had my own mega iced coffee before. We are recording kind of early today. But since we're recording, I got to drink it up.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you record and not drink? I don't understand how people do that. It doesn't make any sense. Like, you gotta do it. But it's 2017. It's a brand new year, guys. We're going to have a lot of fun here today on today's show. And let's go ahead and get started with, we got that Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Here's the Netflix theme song. Drew has a randomizer 9,000.
Movies on fleek.
Chico's reaching in there.
Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Actually, hold on a second. Give me that. Give me the back. Get that out of here. It is time for, it's 2017, it's a new year. Crespo Randomizer 9000 is dead. What does that say, Drew?
This is the Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000.1.
Point 0.1! Oh, shit, there you go. Shake that shit up. And also have a new theme song, guys. Ready? Listen to this. Hold on, new theme song. Here we go. Hold on a second.
I'm so concerned about what back.
Movies on fleek. Streaming instant pick of the week.
Seriously, dude.
That's a new theme song for the streaming instant pick of the week, guys.
So now do I have to search a bunch of websites?
No, you go to canistream.it. Drew, one website. You go to one website. As a matter of fact, those all should be good because this is a brand new thing. The Crest Piece of Randomizer 9000. But you got to give it. Did you pick your own?
Nah, I'm working on this. I need to see if this works.
Well, let me explain to people what's going on. People have been listening for a while. You know, we've been doing the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, and it's always been movies that are on Netflix. I have gotten requests, though, over time to expand it. There's other options other than Netflix, and it's not like they sponsor us. It's just that's the one subscription that I was using. But there's other movies out there and other services. People use them. Right. So the streaming pick of the week, the randomizer 9000.1, the update. And it was buffering for a long time. But that update finally went through on this very complicated randomizer.
To point one.
But point one opened it up so much. So not only are there Netflix movies in there, but there are also Amazon Prime movies, as well as Hulu Plus movies.
Apple and YouTube stuff is on there too.
As well as Apple and YouTube movies.
Okay.
So guys, that's on the canistream.it. So Drew's going to use canistream.it just to verify.
Actually, they've got a bunch of stuff.
They have so many crackles and
digital purchase options. They'll tell you if it's for digital rental on Vudu and some of these other services.
Yeah.
And
you can put pretty much any movie into that website, and it'll tell you if you can stream it on the service.
Are we specify where we can find it?
Absolutely. Okay. Every pick, there's a movie on there, and it tells you exactly where it is. So it's a streaming Netflix, not Netflix, but a streaming pick of the week. You got to pop the top.
You got to open it.
Pop the top.
Once you pop the fun, don't stop.
There you go. We're going to reach in there.
And then go ahead and give it to Drew to verify, but it should be good. I mean, I did just...
It is the first update.
It might be glitchy as fuck.
I mean, everything should be fine for now. I mean, the lid is a little glitchy, but it's got to get. We can work on it. It's got to get loose.
We can work on it. It has to be used. Yeah, it's brand new. Like that thing. Look at that fucking piece of shit.
You kicked the shit out of that thing.
Fuck that thing, man. Look how old and grimy and gross it is. We're good to go, Drew. Yeah, we got a thumbs up. Chico, there you go. There is this week's pick. Right. Go ahead and announce the service and the movie.
Well, this was all for naught. It's Netflix. Right back to Netflix. And it's Unforgiven.
Unforgiven. All right. There we go. Yeah, I will say there are an equal number of Netflix and Amazon and Hulu movies in there. And then other like ones sprinkled in.
This is also available on Amazon, Google Play, Vudu, YouTube, and some weird glowing orb that I don't understand what that's for. Oh, Sony Entertainment.
Sony Entertainment, okay.
I guess they're through their own digital server, I'm sure.
Oh, okay, yeah. It must be something for PS4. Uh-huh.
And that's the thing, too. Like, we got to expand this because things are about to get popping, and the way licensing works and the way companies are going to start buying out other companies, media consolidation. It's just going to make it easier to go streaming-wise. But on a Netflix, Unforgiven, also available on all those other services, the anti-Western, Clint Eastwood's anti-Western, he made his name and his fame making Westerns in the 60s and 70s, up until the 80s, right?
Right.
Until he started doing the Dirty Harry movies. Then he came back with his own Western in the 90s, Morgan Freeman, but it's anti-Western. It's the old gunslinger who's regretful of his violent past and he's lost his skills, etc., etc.
This isn't the one with Val Kilmer. I've seen Unforgiven. It's been so long. Mm. What am I thinking? Is Val Kilmer in this one as well?
Or not Val Kilmer. It was another young white fellow, but not Val Kilmer.
So I'm trying to remember.
It's him and Morgan Freeman. They get some women. A woman, a prostitute, gets her face cut up by a John. And they pull their money together and they hire William Money, Clint Eastwood, to kill this guy. And he picks up his old buddy Morgan Freeman along the way. And there's Gene Hackman is the sheriff. And as the sheriff, he's like, you know, the bad guy type of deal. Another
this
sort of anti-Western.
This is not currently on Netflix, Chris.
It's already taken off of Netflix?
Not on Netflix.
Look at that. New year.
It's glitch. A new year. Glitch.
It's a new year. It's a glitch. Exactly. That 0.1 update glitch. But it is available on all those other services. Mm-hmm. So it is still... That's why the streaming update, I think in the end, it's going to be a benefit to us all for this update.
I think so.
Plus, we got the new theme song, so...
The 9000.1 just probably needs a patch for the actual service. Just leave it.
Yeah, we just need we just need to update this real quick. We'll have the 9000.2 by next week.
0.2 or is it a 0.1?
No, 0.1.
Yeah, 0.11. Yeah.
For work groups.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a great movie and it's from like the early 90s, so it's already quite a bit old. It's an older film, but a classic, a modern classic.
There's a chance if you're in, I might even have this at home on DVD.
There is a chance. People, check your DVD collections.
Say, you might actually have this.
Check those old dusty DVD collections. You may have been gifted it over the years. I definitely have it, that's for sure. Special edition or like commentary tracks and shit.
Nice.
So anyway, Netflix, maybe. Not anymore, but on other things. Unforgiven, streaming pick of the week. Great job. Here we go. Time for the box office recap of the week. You know what that means? That means money. All right, that's enough of that. Drew, where are we going to start the top five? And also, real quick, it's not going to be a weekend box office because of the holiday, New Year's and all that. Numbers don't come out till Monday. We're recording on Sunday. So we're doing the Friday box office estimates.
Correct.
Which you can still easily extrapolate. Whatever happens on Friday, that's pretty much how it's going down for the weekend. Movies might 3 and 4 might switch to 4 and 3, etc., etc., but it's a bunch of bullshit. It's a business minutia anyway. Yeah. It's just a reason to
Your
talk
one,
about...
1, 2, and 3 are going
to
be the same.
Yeah, man, it's just a reason to talk about movies.
Coming in number 5 this week.
Number 5? Wait, number 5. What about number... what about the movie we saw yesterday?
Oh, man, that thing, number 11-ish, maybe.
Yes. Oh, okay. Which is?
Manchester by the Sea. Made $1.375 million, total of $25.95.
So tell me about this. What's Manchester by the Sea?
Manchester by the Sea is a dramedy, more of a drama, a little bit of comedy, a little bit of levity. A movie, though, ostensibly about grief.
Well, that was great for the holiday.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's a great Christmas movie. Great Christmas film. Yeah. It debuted, to be fair, in the cold, snowy hell of January. And in the mountains of Utah when they played at Sundance last year.
The movie looks like okay. a cold, snowy hell.
Yes, because the whole thing is shot in the Boston and Boston suburbs, Manchester, Gloucester, Beverly, all these fucking... If you hate the Boston accent, do not see this movie.
Yeah, do not watch it at all.
I swear to God, they wrote dialogue about shocks just so they can say shock a bunch of times.
Over and over.
They could have talked about barracudas, tuna. But they had to talk about shocks.
I'm really surprised that Mark Wahlberg just didn't waltz in.
It's like, guys, think about the honeybees and the shocks?
You can't do it. You can't do a Boston movie without Mark.
I know, right?
Like, there's a deal.
I think he's like walking around in the background. Like,
he just has to be there.
He's doing push-ups in the park when they walk through in the snow. He's like doing push-ups.
He's hanging from something somewhere.
These guys, you shouldn't eat all those cobs.
No shirt, pants hanging way down. Calvin Klein shirt. He's just hanging.
Do it. Feel it. There he goes.
Find them at work. Mark Wahlberg in any Boston
movie. I almost said the wrong thing. It's like, where's Waldo? Find Wahlberg.
There you go.
Find Wahlberg.
Where's Wahlberg?
Where's Wahlberg? Where's Wahlberg? Write that down. Where's Wahlberg? And then we barely even mentioned Manchester by the Sea, Casey Affleck, Ben Affleck's younger brother. He plays a dude
who... Well, that's surprising.
Yeah, right? Afflecks.
The Afflecks are... So it's either Wahlberg or an Affleck. One of the Afflecks.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, there's
that's a connection. Requirement. That's a Hollywood requirement.
100%. And I think, to be fair, though, it is... may have been written by a New York filmmaker, because his last movie was a post 9/11 grief sort of movie. This is what Travis said. This guy,
a miserable fuck.
He makes movies that are about people who have traumatic events happen in some way, either macro like 9/11 or minor like in this movie where this guy's brother is dead, dies of a heart attack, congenital heart disease. His brother dies and he has a 16-year-old son, so his nephew, he has to like deal with he's named the guardian and he didn't know, so he has to deal with I already have a shitty life in Boston, I have a life that I'm running away from that this is making me confront.
You get to learn about that shitty life too.
You learn about a shitty life, and then you're like, why would someone live such a depressing life? And then you find out why
that's
is
why,
it's like, oh, he's a broken person on the inside. He's damaged forever.
Like shattered.
He's shattered and broken and miserable. I get it. It's a miracle when he even smiles.
It's a miracle he even wakes up in the morning.
Yeah. How does he do it?
That bad?
How does it's a rough backstory. Here's the thing about this movie. So it's like, and it's long too. Over 2 hours. 2 hours and like 15 minutes.
Oh.
And it's just a drama about people, characters, but they're very well realized, very well written, I thought. Where it's like, by the end of the movie, I didn't feel like I watched a movie about, you know, bullshit characters. I felt like I saw a story about, like, you know, very realized people and real situations that are relatable, even though they're very specific. Because, yeah, it's a specific story, but it's got a lot of universal truths to it. You know,
is it really a specific story? Or
with the brother, or is it just the guardianship?
A portion of a story? Because in all reality, we don't even get... I mean, we get the beginning of some parts, but the ending of this movie is very ambiguous.
It does have an ending where it's like...
It's just kind of left, so we're just stopping here.
Yeah.
So we're just going to end here.
Yeah, it is like an interesting spot to end, where it's like, it's not necessarily... I'm looking for closure.
No.
In a movie. But I would like a semblance of catharsis in some way. And I guess it's there. Maybe I missed it. Did you miss it too?
I must have.
When the movie ended and it came up, it's written and directed by Kenneth Lonergan. I heard other people in the audience around us were like, that's it? Like, they were also perplexed by the ending of
it. Came out of nowhere.
I wouldn't say out of nowhere, but in a way that I did feel like it could have kept going. It definitely could have kept going, and it didn't.
I wasn't necessarily perplexed. I just thought it was an interesting spot and way to end the movie. It's like, okay, so we're just gonna over.
Yeah.
All right, sure.
Yeah, when it faded to black, I was like, oh, they're ending it there.
Exactly.
I find a lot of dramas it's a tough thing to end, especially if someone has like you guys are describing, someone has such a miserable life.
Yeah.
Real life, it doesn't flip upside down like that. I mean, it
keeps
going,
but
it takes a long time. Like, you might be able to fix part of it, but the rest of that has residual effects.
Yes, I think that's the point of the movie, in that so this guy, I don't want to get into specifics of the plot, but he is a broken person, and but he is being confronted with responsibilities again, and he's connecting with some family members that he hasn't really connected with in a while. And so by the end of the movie, he's still at a point where if you try to talk to him about certain things, he'll like, can we talk about this later? And he's like trying not to cry, you know, he's like really holding things back. But there's a plan set in place for everyone. right? Like, they have a plan. They actually have a roadmap, but it's like...
There's a map. There's sort of a map. Whether they stick to that map or not.
That's the thing, we don't know.
Neither here nor there.
It's the type of thing where it ends with, like, well, there's some hope for some sort of a future, of like an actual future of interaction between people.
If he stops going to the bar, yeah.
There's no indication that he's ever going to stop drinking anytime soon.
That's going to end him real quick.
Every time he goes to a bar, it's bad news.
Oh, man.
But then you understand why. You're like,
oh, I mean, I get why. Chris, I get it. I understand. But the man goes to a bar specifically just to eye somebody and then knock them out.
Not specifically.
Oh, so he's going to fight.
Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah. That's where he gets his frustration out of his life.
And like, not just anybody. Anybody. He's just...
Don't bump into him. Doesn't matter. Just don't bump into him. Don't be the guy that bumps into him. Because he will just...
Because he's got to quit swing at you.
He will just swing at you. And then when he calms down, he'll be like, oh, I'm good. And then he'll swing at you. This motherfucker. What's wrong with this little drunk asshole? He's miserable. That's why. Yeah. And he's trying to take down everyone with him.
Yes.
Anyway. I thought it was a... I think it's a good movie. Drew, what did you think overall when it was over?
I mean, I agree. I thought it was a good movie. I was just looking for a little more ending. How about that?
A little more ending, sure.
A little more ending.
I can get with that. The thing with this movie, it's extremely well reviewed. Do you have the Rotten Tomatoes?
It's like 97%.
Yeah, look up the Rotten Tomatoes.
Stupid like
it's
that.
It's insanely well reviewed. The average rating is super high.
And you know,
on it.
Seriously,
it's
very
well made.
I get it.
And well acted.
It was very well made, very well acted. Why it has such a.
People love it. People are
why people love this fucking movie so much, I couldn't tell you.
And some people are calling it like a low key masterpiece type of thing.
I missed it.
And I feel like I'm missing the boat a bit. Yeah. And it's a bit disappointing. I wish I could have connected with it more. Like everyone else seems to be. I think it's quite good. Very well made. Very interesting.
Is it super artsy? Is there a lot of like art
not,
to it?
It's not artsy, but it's not commercial. Which is why I'm kind of surprised at that $25 million total. That's a good haul for a movie like this. A long movie about grief. Even though it's a funny movie about grief, it's still...
Not really funny. It's not really all that funny.
It's got some moments where...
Because a lot of them, I mean, you're big.
It has some moments, but hell, it is just a movie about grief and... Just about everybody in this movie at one point, how I'm like, ooh, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Even if
the kid. I hated the kid.
He was a smug 16-year-old piece of shit is what he was.
He's a smug shit. Actually, it's a pretty decent life. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, 97%. Average rating 8.9 out of 10.
Out of like over 100 reviews.
179.
Yeah.
Wow, it's ridiculous.
What's the consensus there?
Manchester by the Sea delivers a... affecting drama populated by full-bodied characters, marking another strong step forward for writer-director Kenneth Lonergan.
This guy, Kenneth Lonergan, he made a movie that came out like 6 years ago called Margaret, and that's the 9/11 movie. It stars Anna Paquin.
Oh, okay.
And it's another movie where it's like a character drama, but it's long as fuck. But that movie had some problems with the distributor and the people who financed it, and this guy, Lonergan, where there were like different cuts. It's one of those things where they put different cuts in the movie. The distributors wanted it shorter. He was like, no, it has to be this long, you know.
Yeah.
And it didn't get a proper release. It never played here in town. I wanted to see it. It never even played at the end scene or anything like that.
Wow.
It's not readily available like for streaming or anything.
I remember hearing the name, but it never actually...
Yeah, because it was making on like the internet.
Right.
It was making waves. And this was also just right before Twitter really blew up. So there was no film Twitter for it to like kind of elevate a little bit. That happens sometimes with the internet discourse anyway.
Well, that's what's driving everything to streaming, like we were talking about earlier.
Exactly.
At some point, you're just like, you know what? I just put it out myself through Netflix, Hulu, some streaming source, and I don't have to worry about somebody telling me to make a shorter cut.
Absolutely, 100%.
Killing yourselves, movie theater industry.
VOD. And that's why they're trying to improve the theaters now, finally. You know, the theater here at the Winter Park Regal.
So long.
Yeah, they renovated it. And they're still not even done renovating. They've only done half the theaters.
Yeah.
But they've gone from the old, now old. I remember when theaters were updated from flat seating to stadium seating.
To flat seating and sticky floors.
Yeah,
sticky floors.
Back when you actually had to think about if you're sitting far back in a theater, like, oh, if someone sits in front of me who's tall, I can't
see
past them.
Yeah.
I can't see the fucking screen. Like, that's amazing to me that used to be an issue now.
Yeah.
But that was an issue we had to deal with. You can still find those theaters, like dollar theaters.
Dollar theaters, right there, yeah.
Old dollar theaters still have that kind of seating.
That old dollar theater was the cream of the...
Back in the day.
...theater industry in, like, 1986.
That's all my dad would take us to.
Yeah, yeah.
Dollar theaters?
Everything was dollar
theaters. I went to a bunch of those too because we were poor. Very poor growing up. So, yeah, sure, I saw Babies Day Out.
There was one right around the corner.
It was in...
One right around the corner for you guys. we used to go to. Right over here where...
oh, yeah.
There's a gym over here now.
Yeah. It's a gym now. Yeah. That theater used to have a 70mm projector. And then the theater closed down. I have no idea what happened to that projector. Probably threw it away or something.
It's still sitting up there.
No, it's probably gone. It's probably in a dumpster. Probably got squashed or who knows, man.
Yeah, probably. Which is a
real bummer. Like ancient, antiquated technology, but like antique shit. Anyway, motherfucker. And now stadium seating. And now the theater over here at Winter Park. It's the big leather seats with the huge armrests. Yeah.
Like, they fully electronic... recline? Like, oh, yeah. Flat?
Like, you can fall asleep.
That is... I can't much. Do it. I've gone to the Epic Theater. Have you guys been to the Epic Theaters?
Not yet, no. And the open one up by the airport that I want to go to.
That's the one we go to, and... I'm not digging it. I mean, it's comfortable. It is super comfortable.
Is it too comfortable?
Too comfortable.
I don't.
Like, I find myself starting like to like well, doze off. Even if I'm into the movie,
you just can't fully recline. That's all.
So well, then you have to like you're constantly like.
I don't. I don't.
Myself back up.
I stopped reclining. I did the first time. I was like, yeah, I'll put my legs in recline. Like, this is very comfortable. Yes, but I don't recline the seat because it's like I don't want to fall asleep. I've been trying to sit here and the seat's still comfortable as fuck. It's a big ass leather seat and it's huge and I'm like it's cushy and everything.
And it doesn't. And it doesn't matter how good the
theater
movie is.
Fresh.
If it can be a great movie or it can be you know it can be a, but it's not. That's not what's causing me to sleep. It's I am in sleeping position.
Yeah.
I'm sprawled out like, and it is dark.
Give me a blanket. Give me a blanket that I can pick up at the front.
I am reclined. Yeah. It's like what if it was like an airport or an airplane? Should say when the flight attendant passes out the pillows. And blankies and stuff. Like, can I get a decaf coffee, please, with extra cream? And then he falls asleep halfway through, blown away because of the movie. Just a random movie to throw out there. But yeah, I don't even know why we're talking about theaters and stuff. Hey, come on, motherfucking theaters. They gotta up your game, yo. Up your game, theaters. So Manchester by the Sea, it's a very good movie, but it's kind of long. It's the type of thing where people, I think, will discover it more... on streaming and Redbox and things like that and whatnot, et cetera. What do you think, Drew? Should people go out and see it in the theater or should they just wait and see it at home?
I mean, that it, if you are into depressing character dramas, by all means, go out and watch this movie however you see fit. I have a feeling, though, that a lot of people are going to see the Rotten Tomato meter reading on this
and be like whoa.
This movie should be awesome. And they're going to watch it and they're going to be like, I didn't like this movie at all.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. If they look at that Rotten Tomatoes score, it just might be built up too much.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Absolutely. Anyway, so there you go. That was number 11-ish or something like that for your weekend. What's
coming
to
number five? Fences made $3.4 million, total of 23.
Fences? I gotta see Fences.
Haven't seen it yet.
That's Denzel Washington. It's a play that he did with Viola Davis on Broadway, and he directs the movie version. And it's another one where it's over 2 hours long. But that one just came out. Manchester by the Sea, I think they're already starting to scale back showtime, so he's here in town. So I wanted to make sure to see that before I saw Fences. So I'll probably try to see Fences this week.
That's one I haven't heard much about.
Yeah, you know, I only saw a couple trailers. The first trailer is great, where it's just Denzel, one of the many speeches, I'm sure, in the movie, because it's a play. Denzel speechifying on his son about, like you sleep in my bed, you're under me, eat my food, blah, blah, blah. What says I have to like you? Some shit like that. It's actually a really good
exactly. It was a good speech.
It hooked me in. And then he's like, I've been just standing still. And then Viola Davis is like, I've been standing there with you. And she's all teary-eyed, then it's like Fences. I'm like, whoa, acting, you know, it looks fun in that sort of way. You know, people really, professionals really giving it their all. That type of thing. So
it's nice to see them.
Definitely be checking it out. But yeah, check out the trailer. It's interesting. That was number five.
Correct.
Number four is... Number four.
Moana made $4.3 million, total of $203 million dollars.
Have you seen this?
Not yet. No, I'm going to see it eventually, probably on a home video type thing. Or
yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
You know what? It'll be on Netflix for sure. I'll explain in the second half why it will be on Netflix for sure.
Oh, yeah, well.
But I'll see whatever comes out on Netflix. Definitely. But yeah, got behind on movies for the last couple of weeks, so that one, it dropped really low on the list I wanted to see. Even though it got good reviews, it wasn't like, this is a masterpiece or anything like that. Right. So.
I totally don't care about these Disney movies anymore. I am way too old to care about the next Disney princess.
Yeah, it is like a Disney movie versus a Pixar movie, which is those can be more lean more towards your Wall-E's and Ratatouille's,
right,
as opposed to a Disney, which gives you more the Princess and the Frog and Tangled and Frozen and stuff like that, which is, yeah, it's a... That's for sure for a younger audience, as opposed to Pixar, which definitely seems like they're going for, we need to include everyone in this story. Like, everyone's got to have some sort of hook into it. That's why Cars 3 looks like, what? The Cars 3 teaser?
The first time I saw it, I was like, what's this new race? What? Yeah,
what's this crazy racing movie? Like, oh, it's a Cars movie? What? Stephen Queen's gonna die? No! And then it's like, everything will change this summer or some shit like that.
Yeah. I was in the theaters when we, and I saw the preview, and you could hear that weird, like, mumble across the theater. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. When it was over. Because when it comes up, and the bright logo, it's like the Cars logo, summer 2017. You're like, what?
Excuse me?
Yeah. It's all muted, the colors, like the color scheme. It's like, what the fuck is this?
I'm curious enough to go see it.
You know what? Yeah, fuck the Cars movies. Yeah. I will see Cars 3. Because
the second Cars movie was crap.
That was where he's like an international spy. Yeah,
I never saw any of them.
The first Cars movie is great. I thought it was a nice, you know, very, very creative. It was great. And then the second one is like, all right, let's see what this is. Let's just throw a spy film in there with a car.
Which seems stupid as hell. It seems like that's out of the DreamWorks playbook. You know, the Madagascars and your Shreks and stuff like that. But this isn't Pixar level. You know, I expect something grandiose and heart. Felt and
I expect to spend the first 15 minutes crying my eyes out, and then the rest of the movie just being like, okay, that was good. But why was it so sad?
That's for sure. I really want to rewatch Ratatouille. I haven't seen that in a while. Yeah. I remember liking that one a lot.
Good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. But Moana, we'll get around to it eventually, I'm sure, because that's what we do. We get around to things eventually on Cinema Crispy. So that was number four.
Number three.
What was your number three?
Passengers.
Passengers.
Made $5.6 million, total of $50.1 million.
$50.1
million dollars.
Cost like $110 million to make this movie.
Well, really?
It's going to top out on 70. Yeah, explain the Chico.
I'm interested in this. Like, this movie looks really good.
We reviewed it last week. Go ahead and explain to Chico what's up.
It is just, man. I mean, you watch the movie and you're like, Chris Pratt, okay, J-Lo, okay, I get it, chemistry. And they have great chemistry, but you only see, so, you know, you saw the size of that ship, right?
Right.
You want to know how many rooms of that ship you see?
How many?
Four.
That's it?
That's so true.
You see four rooms of this entire ship. Yeah. You want to know how many characters there are in this movie?
How many?
Two.
It's just them two?
It's just them two and the robot bartender.
No,
and,
there's
and then
three.
And then at the end, you get... A little sprinkle of Lawrence Fishburne, and then a dash of Andy Garcia.
Holy crap.
For like, literally, like 2 seconds of Andy Garcia. Not even 2 seconds.
Because apparently he had a scene that they cut out at the end.
Okay.
So he just walks into a room and he's like,
and then the movie's over. And it's like, what happened?
Where the hell
that was
been?
Andy Garcia!
Could we not get to the room where he was at?
What's that beard on Andy Garcia?
I mean, other than that, it's really not all that good. The writing's not that good. The acting's really not all that good either.
Story's kind of weird.
Story's weak.
Yeah.
There's no, like, cool action scenes or... You know, it's
some of
kinda...
the if you like sci-fi movies, like the spaceship design stuff is cool. The ship itself, and
but you only see,
with the
the outside is like I said, the inside, four rooms.
The inside's boring, but I like the control room that they show. They show a lot of the automated diagnostic system and the way it picks up errors and stuff. It's like, oh, that's an interesting visual.
So the tech of it is
I enjoyed that, but they didn't get that much into it though.
Oh,
to be honest,
it looks good, man.
It looks good, but you barely get to see.
Really,
it.
I hate that because that's one of those where you're like, oh, this trailer looks so good, and you're like, crap, I was good with just the trailer.
The trailer also lies to you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the trailer definitely lies to you. Yeah. Oh yeah, it does.
I'll go ahead and explain to people. I think it's a consumer reporting service to explain to people how the trailer lies to you. That's a misleading trailer. The trailer leads you to believe that there's something goes wrong on the ship, and Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence's pods open at the same time, and they're the two people that have been awoken on this ship, and they're just trying to get through it together. In the movie, in actuality, there's an error. Chris Pratt's pod opens, and he's on the ship by himself for a year.
That's what I've heard.
As he goes crazy, and then he decides he's going to open up. He learns, because he's an engineer, that's how he got the ticket to begin with, and he decides to open up her pod and force her, essentially, to join him in his desert island hell.
After researching her for the entire year and falling
in
love with a woman who's sleeping.
Who was sleeping next to her in hibernation. And then
that's what I thought was interesting of it. I'm like, okay, there's a cool little dichotomy here where it's just you two, but you're totally screwing this girl out of her. What was it? It was supposed to be out for
Oh yeah, they were like 90 over 90 years away from getting to their destination, and they're both like they're both 30, they're gonna die on that. That's why it's a desert island. They're stranded on the ship. Although to be fair, it's like being stranded on a cruise ship with unlimited amenities. Yeah, you know what I mean, when Chris Pratt went crazy, when his character went crazy in a year, I was like, I could have made it longer than a year. I could have done it. I think
loneliness is a bitch.
Loneliness is a bitch.
It is at some point. If you have no human contact, you're just kind of talking to yourself.
People
maybe
can be
a robot.
People can be bitches too. Yeah, the Michael Sheen robots seem like totally like they can fall and have conversations.
Yeah, well, about most things.
About most things. I mean, I can keep it booze related.
is he cool with a hand job or something? Because I mean, it's a
year. There's gotta be. There's massage robots. I'm sure you can reprogram them. There's other robots too. He could talk to the square robots in different languages because there's all these different restaurants. He could go to the Italian restaurant, to the Japanese restaurant. Come on, man! It's like being on a Disney cruise ship
by yourself.
By yourself, though.
I'm fine with that.
I'd go crazy.
No, I'm fine with that.
That would be cool for a little while.
When I did the cruise recently, I spent a lot of time by myself. I was like, I can get used to this. And then someone else would walk into the room. I'm like, damn it! I gotta go find another place.
Find all the hiding spots.
Yeah. I'd be really cool with it. I mean, I'd probably just spend my life setting traps for all the people when they woke up. booby trap the entire ship.
Cube the house.
Uh huh.
Like, we're gonna cube this motherfucker up every room you walk. Guilty of death.
And then that way, you know, only the strong survive.
Create the greatest scavenger hunt ever.
Yes.
So they wake up.
It is the greatest scavenger hunt ever. You get to scavenge life.
That's, I know, not to put Drew on any sort of long range mission ship there, because that could be bad terrible.
Bad things.
So that was number three.
Number two this week.
Number two.
Sing made $16.8 million on Friday, total of $140 million.
Not bad for December release for an animated movie. That's not something you would typically see, especially a bigger animated movie.
I heard a lot of bad things about it.
Really? Yeah. What are the reviews on it? Did we even look up the Rotten Tomatoes score on that ever on Sing? It's Sony Illumination.
69%.
69%. So it's you know what? I think that's kind of close to like the Despicable Me sequel. And the Minions movie, it's the same studio that does all that stuff.
Average rating 6.5.
Yeah, so it's not great, right? Sounds okay.
A friend that took her kids to see it and said that kids love it, of course. They, you know, love the whole idea.
They just love anything animated.
Right.
It's made for them.
But for her, it felt like it would never end, she said.
Really?
It just wouldn't get... It wouldn't finish.
That sucks. That sucks. I would hate to be in that situation. You're sitting there with these kids like, fuck these guys. At least the kids are quiet for 90 minutes.
It's gonna finish. No, it kept going. She started looking at the clock, like, how much longer could I possibly have?
I'm like, you kids, when the movie's finished, come outside. Me. Mommy's out in the hallway on Facebook, all right? This is driving me crazy. This fucking pig is dancing. That was number two.
Yes.
Which means number one is for the third week in a row.
Star Wars Rogue One.
God damn.
Oh, yeah, $18.176 million for a Friday.
Gonna make at least a billion.
Almost $400 million.
At least a billion worldwide. So maybe far. 1.2 billion. It'll probably get just past Captain America Civil War for being. Those should be, I believe, the two highest grossing films of 2016. When it's all said and done, Star Wars Rogue One and Captain America Civil War, both of them Disney productions.
Right now, Rogue One's sitting at $700 million dollars worldwide.
$700 worldwide?
No.
Yeah, so 1.2 is definitely within reach. Maybe even 1.3. We'll see. So there you go. That's your box office recap for your New Year's Eve, New Year's weekend. What's next? What are we doing next? Oh, let's talk about the new movies coming out on DVD. Really only one movie coming out on DVD, but I think it's worth checking out for the most part. I liked it. Because it's a movie that made me... I was thinking about this movie when it was over. Blair Witch comes out on DVD this week.
That, that totally, like, was coming. And I saw it was coming, and I was interested in it, and then it...
And then it kind of went away. It didn't really make any buzz, any bump. Drew, not too impressed with it. I enjoyed it as much as I would enjoy a modern found footage movie. Which is still what it is. It's still found footage.
Right.
Shaky camera and all that stuff. But it's like... The last half of the movie, the second half of the movie, the last 30, 40 minutes is like fucking intense. It is really, really, really becomes more like a chase movie than anything else in terms of characters running around in the woods and being all scared. And you don't know what's chasing them. At the end, you sort of see it. And it's really fucking creepy looking.
Yeah.
And apparently it's not the Blair Witch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
There's something at the end of the movie that everyone's like, oh, shit, it's the Blair Witch. But it's not the Blair Witch. It's something else entirely.
What the fuck is it?
It's fucking weird. I don't know. It's fucking weird. It's the type of thing where I can like still see images from it.
Oh, really?
About it. Or the moment with the when they break the stick figure doll.
That was
figure.
Awesome. And the girl snaps too.
What?
That was awesome.
It's such a crazy moment. It's definitely has things going for it. So I would recommend checking it out, especially now that's on DVD.
Oh yeah, you I'll definitely check it out because I was excited to see it, and then it kind of like fell off the radar, and I forgot about it.
Completely. It didn't make much of a splash. I was surprised. I thought it would have made more, especially since it is for what it is. I'm not the biggest fan of the genre for being found footage. I thought it was pretty damn well made. I thought it was really good for that. Maybe would have liked it more if it was just a straight up movie, but then would it have been Blair Witch? But
they did that. They did the Blair. What was the Blair
Witch? The second one,
and now I think that kind of soured the
franchise.
All, that, I guess if you're gonna call it,
but that poisoned the well for sure. Yeah. Because they did the thing where it was like, oh, the Blair Witch Project is a movie. It's a documentary, and we're a bunch of kids who were I don't know. And then it got into some black magic thing. I remember seeing it in theaters, it was, but ridiculous. Whack as fuck. So that's it. That's all that's coming out on DVD. Drew, what's coming out in theaters? A monster does call. Yeah, Liam Neeson is a tree monster.
Mm-hmm.
For a grieving kid whose mom is dying. His mom from Rogue One, Jyn Erso, she has cancer.
Yep.
So her son is like, oh, I'm sad. So he draws a lot of pictures, and then it's a fantasy movie sort of about a.
And then Liam Neeson's like, I'm a tree monster.
He's like, I'm a tree. He's like, I'm a tree monster. I have a particular set of tree skills.
I'm going to save your mom from cancer.
And then I'm going to punch a wolf. So yeah, that comes out. But it's from the director of the guy who's making the next Jurassic Park movie, Jurassic World 2.
Speaking of...
Is that what they're going with, Jurassic World 2?
I think so, actually.
Speaking of punching a wolf...
Let's punch some wolves!
Underworld Blood Wars comes out. Speaking of punching wolves.
Excuse me, lichens.
My bad, dude.
Get that right. For some reason, they can't be werewolves. No. It's a war with the lichens.
They're fucking werewolves, man.
And is it still vampires versus lichens? Yes. Werewolves? Uh-huh. Five movies, six movies.
Hang on.
Deep?
What
are the Blood Wars?
We got vampire death dealer Celine, Kate Beckinsale, fights to end the eternal war between the Lycan clan and the vampire faction and the betrayer.
But it's an eternal war. How can you end an eternal war?
Well, apparently she gets blonde highlights.
Oh, that changes. That changes everything.
It's on now.
So
the Lycans are like, oh, you know what? You should get along. Those
are killing it, girl. It's like, you look pretty damn good, Ms. Beckinsale. Well, she does. Selena, whatever her name is.
She does look really damn good.
Shouldn't she become some sort of like half vampire, half lichen hybrid thing, and then unite them all, and then just bring the two sides together to take over humanity?
I mean, what
movie are we at?
Fifth one already?
As long as she runs around in tight pleather unisuits, I'm happy.
And poses. Unisuits. A lot of stretchy fight poses.
Yes. All the poses. and then Rhona Mitra, who was in like the third or fourth one. The one that Kate Beckinsale didn't do.
Yes.
And then Rhona Mitra put on the suit. It's like, oh, you guys are pretty much the same. Man. Yeah. This works. Should bring her back.
They should.
And like, oh, we're, fight each other. We're clones or something. But not really.
They can fight each other.
I'm a bad clone of you. Not a bad clone, just not perfect.
I feel like that whole series has gone like Resident Evil, where it's
that
just,
whole series
just,
oh my God.
Throwing crap out there, and it's like, come on,
that's how it's always been.
Yeah, I think those movies are one for one. Underworld and Resident Evil, I put them in the exact same category.
Yeah,
what would you call it? Horror action.
Yeah, kind of. But for kids,
and they keep buying them and loving them.
And
people keep seeing them. Not only is this coming out in January, there's also Resident Evil movie coming out, I believe, in January. Are they rated R?
This one is.
Yeah, I guess they're all rated R. The Resident Evil movies are rated R too as well, I believe.
Were they?
I think so.
I don't know why. I thought they were PG-13.
I would have figured.
Those might be. Is that it come out in theaters?
That's everything.
All right. Well,
it's going to be a really awful weekend at the movies.
Yeah, then we'll check out Fences. Time for Dr. Drew. The doctor is in. Doctor.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew. Take it away.
Well, Chris, it's a new year.
Isn't it?
And a lot of people say, you know, new year, new you.
New year, new you.
Fuck that shit, dude. New year, same Drew.
Oh!
there's no new me. Screw all that. New year's resolution, screw all that. I'm going to be the same misanthropic asshole this year that I was last year. So I hope you people like it. Because nothing is changing. Cogburn out.
I really didn't have an appropriate song. just brought the house down. New Year, same Drew. Like it. Thank you, Drew. We appreciate it. Crespo Disco time, guys. Let's take a break. Listen to some music.
Cool.
Oh, I forgot to mention this. I saw Assassin's Creed. Nah, it was okay. Everything that Drew said about it, I agree. So there you go. About to say, that's my Assassin's Creed review is whatever Drew said.
Yeah,
it's all accurate. It looks great. Technically, it's well made, but it's not that. God, I was.
I mean, it is.
I was
it
bored
is,
by the end
is,
of it.
Is it not the best video game movie to be made?
I need to look at a list of video game movies. It's close to the top. It's close to the top, but it's not. That it's not, I don't even know if it's that good, to be honest.
It isn't that good. You're
it
right.
It was boring, and it should have been R-rated, because for being a movie that's so stabby and slashy, it's also quite bloodless.
Yes.
And also...
It's a PG-13 violence, bro.
Very, very dour.
Yeah.
Very dour movie.
It's yeah.
Guys, crack a smile. Nope. Someone.
Nope, we gotta be serious.
One person, make a joke. Even a sardonic one. Jeremy Irons. Jeremy Irons sleepwalks through the whole movie. Still working on that Jeremy Irons. That's a tough one. I feel like it's got to be in a higher register. I got to watch Dead Ringers.
Yeah, keep working.
Dude, it's a work in progress. It's hard. I'm putting myself out there. You know how hard this is? God damn it.
Drink more. That'll help.
Yeah, I need another one. Crossbow was a good time. I saw Assassin's Creed. It was whatever. But the score is okay. The score done by the brother of the director. The director is Justin Kurzel. The score composed by a fellow named Jed Kurzel. Jed. J-E-D. Jed.
Must be short for what? Probably Jedediah.
Probably short for Jed.
Jedrick.
Jedi.
I like Jedrick.
Jedrick?
Jedrick would be a good name.
Jedrick.
Sounds fancy.
Interesting.
Jedrick Kurzel the Fourth.
There you go.
Here's actually two songs from the soundtrack that they just blend together into one, like, slightly longer song. So here's a couple of Assassin's Creed songs, and then plus also someone named Leslie Barber did the soundtrack for Manchester by the Sea, which is a very almost classical music-sounding soundtrack. So here's a song from that as well. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the second half of the show. You guys ready for more?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do this.
Yo, yo, what's good, world? This is your boy, Steezy, coming to you straight out of the Trap House. We are pumping out two brand new shows a week for you, featuring the illest open discussion in O-Town. We love highlighting local Orlando talent, including comedians, musicians, artists, and anyone with beer money. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to finally know what the heat of the week is and not feel like a downright herb, download Steezy's Trap House on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher today. Get booked!
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
Yeah, that's right. We are back, episode 208 of Cinema Crespediso. The first episode of Cinema Crespediso of 2017 is underway. It's me, still Chris, with Drew and Chico. Guys.
What up, dude?
Holla.
What's good? What's good?
Holla.
Holla, 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 holla.
Oh, man.
No.
2017 is already going down the drain.
2017 sucks. Here we go.
Already. I'm more like... Fucking!
Did we lose anybody?
14 yet? Hours into it.
I know, we just started. Who's dead? Has anyone checked on Christopher Walken?
Oh, no.
He is fragile.
How about Abe Vigoda?
Oh, he's dead as fuck. Abe Vigoda. He is 6 feet under, unless they cremated him, in which case. Drew, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At Antihero419. All over the interwebs.
All over the interwebs. On Twitter. Make sure you send me your favorite Zodiac gifs, because he loves Zodiac, and he wants to be reminded of that movie at all times. So go ahead and send me your Zodiac gifs. Also, if you're looking for work in the mechanics sector, Drewster Cogburn can help you out. Email him your resume. Drewster Cogburn helps mechanics at drewsendspeoplejobs.org.
Where do you come up with this shit?
What? Is that on your business card? You handed me this. You handed me this card on the break. Yeah. You said, read this. You whispered to me. I don't know why you didn't want Chico to hear it. You said, read this. When you come back from the break, I said, okay, I don't know where you come up with all these businesses, Drew.
Obviously, you're reading it wrong, because the card that I gave you was like a rant on how awful of a person Chico was, and that's why I didn't want him to know.
I took editorial license and I cut that part of the card out. Thank you, Drew. But now that you mentioned Chico, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Everywhere. This is Chico. It's
you guys are so simple. You come up with the same handle, huh?
This is Chico.
For everything.
On Twitter and Instagram, and it's all this is Chico.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to follow me, I'm on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo, but the Instagram is Cinema Crespo Diso, but on Twitter it's just Crespo Diso. Because Cinema Crespo Diso. It didn't fit. It was Cinema Crespo Dis.
So you
just
failed.
Crespo.
So
what you're saying? Something will come up.
What you're saying is you failed.
If you just search Crespo, depending on the part of the country you're in, you know, because Google does that regional stuff.
Let's see.
You may come up, you may get the, I believe there's a stand-up comedian out of Central Jersey, New York area.
Crespo. All right, so I just put Crespo into Google.
Just Crespo?
Just Crespo.
You're going to get like Elvis Crespo.
Nope. Number one, Hernan Crespo.
Hernan Crespo. Oh, he's like a soccer player. Very popular soccer player.
And then DJ Crespo.
DJ Crespo, very popular DJ.
And then Crespo tracks and releases on Beatport.
Yep.
All right, so if you search for, if you search for Crespo movies, you'll find them. There you go.
Let's see. Let's see.
That's what got to do it.
Let's see.
That well, we'll choose the guy we're going to do the Google search for Crespo movies. You can just do a Google search for Crespo movies, and you will find...
Elvis Crespo.
Elvis Crespo. Suavemente.
Besame. Okay. No, don't start that.
Andres Crespo.
Every Spanish and people, we have to dance.
They just started dancing immediately. And then, hundreds of them so across the country just started dancing.
We've got Elvis Crespo, Andres Crespo.
Andres Crespo.
Elika Crespo. And then, Cinema Crespo Diaz.
Hey!
There you go. There you go.
Hey, polite applause. Can you people hear that? Can you hear the polite applause? Polite applause for such a low ranking.
That's not bad. You didn't pay for that.
That's true.
I did not pay for that ranking.
But it's not though. Chris Crespo. It's just Cinema Crespo.
Guys, if you Google search Chris Crespo, Orlando, Florida.
Oh, that's so much. Much typing.
It is a lot of typing. Just, if you just search Chris Crespo, Orlando, drop the Florida. Chris Crespo, Orlando, then you will get flooded with Crespodista results in my Twitter, probably, in the Facebook. If you find me on Facebook, I'm yes. Christopher A. Crespo on Facebook.
Chris Crespo, Orlando.
Oh, Chris Crespo, Orlando.
Boom.
I'm all
Nothing
over.
But you.
Nothing but me. I'm all over. Chris Crespo, Orlando.
There you go.
And if you want to friend me on Facebook, I'll fucking accept your friend request. I don't give a shit. We're not really friends. You're just into what I do, and you want to see my occasional post about bullshit. Because that's how I treat Facebook.
That's what Facebook is.
I fucking hate Facebook so much. You can email the show, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Emails for free stickers. Chico, did you see our business card stickers?
I did. Those are badass.
You see these things? Look at it. It's got the whole thing on the back there. That's totally badass, sir. We'll send you free stickers. Just email cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Your mailing address. We'll send them in the mail for free. I think I have Shane. You have a bunch of A's in your name. I got your stickers in an envelope sitting on the table over here.
You got a bunch of A's in your name.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of A's in your name. It looks like it should be Shane. I'm going to be sending you those stickers soon. I swear to God, dude, this week will be coming in the mail. There's another thing I wanted to say. iTunes, guys, rate us and review us on iTunes. It's been a few months since we had a review, and we can use them. They help out a lot. We've been sitting on 43 ratings for a while. Let's get it up to 50. Why can't we get 50 ratings? Way more than 50 people listen to the show. I guarantee you that. Way more than 50 people. So if you guys like the show, come on, help us out.
I'm one of you. I've got to do a review.
And if you're not into iTunes, you don't like iTunes.
Shit,
I'm one of those people. If you're not, you motherfuckers. If you guys don't want to help out on iTunes, you can still help us out on Stitcher. You can rate and review on Stitcher. You don't need an account to do it. You can just do it. We only have 2 ratings on Stitcher, ratings and reviews. One of them is from Trey from the Swervy Jones Show. Thanks, Trey. We appreciate it. Good guy.
Nice.
I don't think he listens to the show.
Hey. I tried leaving a review for us once.
We'll talk about that in a second. That's a good lesson for people. The other review on Stitcher is from me. From my alter ego review name that I use to leave reviews for things. Mostly for Cinema Crespo Diaz related things.
Is it a positive review?
Always. It's glowing.
Fuck those guys.
Glowing review.
I have enough self-hatred that if I start writing my own review, it gets bad.
It could be. No, that's why.
It starts out great. It's like, not a bad, it's a great show, but you know, the one guy on it.
The one guy.
What is he doing with his fucking life?
Good lord.
No, I'm able.
Like in the interest of
self-promotion, I am able to separate that, thank God, somehow. But, guys, rate us a review of us on these services, and it will help us out a lot. We would really appreciate it. Email us, tweet us, Facebook us, friend us, all of us.
Just use good language, please.
And use good language, because Drew wrote a review on iTunes, and for some reason, he doing a lot of fucks in there. Not only did they not accept the review, I swear to God, they took away a star. Somehow, we lost a star rating. It was unbelievable. They're so bad.
It knocked the podcast down 1 star.
Yeah. We lost a star. So please help us get that star back, people.
As a punishment.
We beg you, please. And we'll read the reviews. Whatever you write, we'll read them. You can even... The review doesn't have to be about the show. You write whatever you want about whatever in the review. Just rate us 5 stars. And then we'll read whatever ridiculousness you want to write on the show.
I love puppies.
Yeah. If you want to rant about like the local county commissioners and the way they're treating the utility companies or something, write that in our review. 5 stars. We'll read it on the show. Get your message out there.
If you need somewhere to put your shit, just write a review and just rank it 5 stars.
If you want to try to turn your review into an advertisement for whatever you're doing, if your services, you want to try to sell something via a Crespo Diaz review, if you can get that through the iTunes censors, we will read it on the fucking show. Go. It just has to be a 5-star review. That's all. So guys, help us out. Anything else you want to plug specifically you want to throw out there?
No, I've got nothing right now.
Got nothing going right now? All right. That just wanted to make sure.
It is 2017, so.
It is. I mean, it's the first day. Why aren't you doing anything, Chico?
So brand new.
I'm here.
What the fuck is wrong with
you? I'm here, and this is about as much as today's going to get out of me.
Brand new motherfucking year, motherfucking day.
I wrote it off this morning.
And we got time for the very first Billy D's Death at the Movies of 2017. Billy D is our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. And his intro goes like this.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Billy D is our homie. He hits us up. Actually just made it in under the wire this week. We appreciate it, Bill. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
We rented the French sci-fi movie on Google Play last night, and it was bananas. It's called Evolution.
Evolution, but not the one with Orlando Jones.
Deeply unsettling body horror.
I actually like that movie. David Duchovny.
Alien Ghostbusters.
Yeah, pretty much. Deeply unsettling body horror is a favorite of mine, and this film has it in spades. It's a small film, just a handful of boys and some women make up the cast. I can't really spell it out because most of it would be spoiled.
Ah, spoilers.
But it's about a boy who swims to the bottom of a nearby inlet and sees a dead boy covered in coral and starfish.
Oh, shit.
He becomes obsessed with starfish and what his mother does at night by the sea.
That sounds like a vagina reference.
Well acted, deliberately paced.
Or bow, bow, oh, I got it wrong. Bow, bow, damn it.
Well acted, deliberately paced, minimal.
Sorry about that. That's just around a butthole.
And a surprising lack of gore for a body horror film. Totally recommend. Stay cool, Billy D.
French horror film Evolution. That's what Billy D is good for. Finding the weird ass fucking movies we didn't even know that we wanted to see. And then he lets us know, eh, you may not want to see this.
It's kind of curious, though. Like, dead body. And out of all the dead body stuff that could be there, it's like, I really like starfish.
I like the starfish now. Yeah. And this has something to do with my mother and her beachside activities. Maybe she likes nighttime picnics on the beach? Maybe.
Or nighttime murder on the beach?
Nighttime murder. It was murder. I can't get the thing.
You can't do
that.
You're so awful.
Get that out of there. 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 That's YouTube. That's a game. It's Angry Birds. I don't even know why I have Angry Birds there. It was murder. No. See, I'm gonna just edit it together, and then like I'm gonna cut out that. He's right. I won't. You're totally right. I won't.
But you won't.
You're totally. That is 100% correct. Uh-huh. Yeah. But you know what? I will do.
You will drink some more because that always helps.
I'm thinking these days less and less that it does. Thinking it might not be helping.
Yeah, it never really helps.
Keep drinking until it helps.
I'm gonna find out.
At some point, you'll be drinking. You know, this is actually helping. And then you don't want to go past. Oh crap! What happened?
Don't want to go past. The juice of God, man, versus the realm. The first one of 2017. Guys, here we go. Juice of God versus the world time. Drew, you finished last year. Your record was 17-13. He finished 2016.
Over 500. I'm happy.
Over 500. It's also more opponents than you've ever faced before.
Very nice.
30 guests last year, 30 opponents. We're going to try to beat that number this year. Or the opposite direction. No guests. We're going to see. I don't know.
Well, we're already not doing no guests.
Chico, I barely even think of Chico as a guest, man. He comes on the show. He's just like, he's our homie, man. It's just like, he's one of the few.
He barely thinks of you as a guest.
No, it's not even a guest.
Imagine what he thinks of you as a human.
I'm saying, this is him.
This is
him.
Why I don't leave reviews.
What I'm saying is, you took that the wrong way. What I mean is like a guest is like next week we're going to have a special guest. We're going to have a guest on the show, someone who's never been on before.
Someone he cares about.
Someone who will never be on. No, what I'm saying is someone that we don't know. This person is going to be as real for real. I'm like, I'm going to meet this person 5 minutes before we record.
He's and gonna then when the best behavior.
It's all going to be our best behavior.
Best clothes.
When this person.
Lock the cat away.
When this person
yells at you.
Who knows if I've ever seen them again, as opposed to you, Etchy, Curtis Earth, Simon Time, Amy Drew. These are
like
people.
Fuck you guys.
Like, these are people.
You
who are
guys
like,
just,
guys,
just,
come on.
You guys are just assholes.
You guys
fuck
are.
You guys.
You're like the rotating third mic, is what I'm saying.
I don't care about you guys.
It's what I'm
That's
saying.
That's what he's saying. Doesn't
no,
care.
What I'm saying is, like, you guys have gone beyond the level of guest to, like.
So you've taken them for granted, is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, like, these are the people that I could be like, hey, I might need a special guest co-host. this week. Have you not been a co-host?
I have.
Right, you have been. So is Etchy. These guys, they've sat in for Mr. Cogburn when he can't come in sometimes every now and then. That's what I'm saying. You're the next level. That next level.
You know
those
video games where you're like hitting both buttons and you have the little bar that keeps going back and forth to get who's going to be in control? That's where I feel like right now. But he's winning because you kind of stopped, but it was headed your way too.
But then I took it over at the end.
I really do enjoy playing the devil's advocate. So, you know. Whatever he says, if I can go against it, it's really good for the ear holes.
It is.
Stop. Have time.
I got you there. You fell through on that one, though. Fell through. You didn't follow through or fall for it. You fell through on that one. You know what?
Because that's, yes. Drinking is the answer, Chris. Always
feeling
the
better already.
It's still so early, too. And oh, my God.
you got a long 2017 ahead of you, buddy.
I was just thinking that. It's early in the day, but also early in the year.
It's very early.
I mean, guys, you don't even know. What's going on here? Drew Cigar versus the world.
I think the last time I was here,
I think you won. Didn't you?
Yeah, I don't remember. And I think I remember saying I would never do this again because I don't want to go back losing.
Exactly, but you are here.
Quitting
on
a high.
You have to.
Still want to. I still want to beat Kevin.
Let's see if you can get a win streak going. Drew, so far this year, you are 0-0.
Yes.
You did win the last game of last year.
I did.
So you'll get to go first. This week's game is called Characters Welcome. I will give you the movie character, the character's name. You tell me the actor or actress who played this character.
Motherfuck.
Not the easiest. Some of them will be easy, some of them will be hard.
You're doing the movie and the character name?
I am just telling you the character name.
Character name. So yes. You got it. You actually have to know who he's talking about.
Yeah.
And so, that's usually the hardest part.
Okay, so here we go. Like
Steven.
He'll be like, Marty McFly. But if you don't know who the fuck Marty McFly is, then you're like,
Exactly. So,
so if he says, you know, like, the random name of, like, the general from some weird ass fucking war movie that you've probably seen, but you don't know that that guy is named that guy, then you're fucked.
Yeah, this is a good one to start.
Yeah,
I'm already nervous.
It's awful.
This is all correct. Yes.
I hate Chris.
This is all correct.
I'm writing a review when I leave.
Yeah. I hope so.
Depending on how this goes, is where your star rating is.
Chico, here's the thing, though. You can write the review. You can write a shit review and say we suck. But if it's a 5-star review, we will read it on the show.
Right. And no, so
you'd be like, "Fuck these guys, they're the worst." But then if you say "fuck too much," iTunes will not. They won't let it. But if you write a review like, "These guys are terrible. This is the worst show ever," 5 stars.
Cool.
The thing is, though, I don't want to encourage people to do that because there's another podcast out there, another comedian who actually does that. He solicits. This is genius. Before we get the game started, this is genius, guys. He has been doing this for months now. He has hundreds of 5-star ratings and reviews. But his thing is, if you roast him in the comments, in the review is a horrible review, and you're fucking tearing him apart. But then you rated 5 stars, he will read that review on the show. So every show, every episode starts with him reading 4 or 5 reviews where he's just eviscerating himself. And like the most, like, well, like, nice. The knives are out with some of these people, but then it's a 5-star review. So he has like hundreds of 5-star reviews and it gets his show like high up on the iTunes algorithms and shit like that. And it's also a funny bit. I ain't trying to steal that bit. It's a genius idea. I ain't trying to steal it though.
But there's nothing wrong with stealing. Just say you're stealing and steal it.
I'm not.
That's the radio rule.
That's what I do.
It's the radio rule.
We've been open about stealing on the show. We've talked about it.
What do we say? I mean, yeah. Bring it on. We fucking steal it.
That's what we always say.
We'll steal anything. I mean,
Chico. Mostly, that's exactly what we always say. We say, bring it on. We'll steal it. We'll steal anything. That is the motto of the show.
Mostly,
we've said it so many times. Those words verbatim.
Mostly because I really want to get the cease and desist order on that really fancy paper.
I've been trying to get like some sort of like we'll see you letter from like Universal or RCA so we can frame it.
Yeah, and be like, look, I made it.
Like hold it up to the light. Like look at the water. Look at that. It's like.
It's a fancy paper.
Even put it on the good paper. This is sweet. Yeah. Trying to get that headline. Massive mega conglomerate sues penniless podcast.
Yes.
So let's steal it and put it out there and tag him in social media that we are stealing this idea from that show. Tag him directly. The only way to get him to get that cease and desist is to throw it in his damn face.
Yeah, you're right.
The only way.
I want that cease and desist order, bro.
Or we don't. Oh, yeah. You know what? Wait. Nope. I don't need that. Time for Juicy Carton. We're so welcome.
So awful at this.
I'm going to tell you the character name. You tell me the actor. Drew, you got to choose between A or B. You ready?
A.
A. Here we go. Number one, Marty McFly. No, wait a second. You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. All right, here we go. Number one, he said A. Who played this character? John McClane.
Bruce Willis.
That's correct. See, it's not that bad. Number two, Aaron Cross. Ooh, okay, it's kind of bad. It's kind of bad.
Who the fuck is Aaron Cross?
He was my PE teacher.
That's kind of bad.
Like, hang on.
It's not like PE.
Hang on. Aaron. I have no fucking idea.
It's my high school math teacher. Aaron Cross. That's Jeremy Renner in The Born Legosi.
Okay.
The not Jason Bourne character in the Jason Bourne movie.
You see?
Beautiful.
All right, number three, Henry Hill.
No idea.
That's Ray Liotta in Goodfellas.
Okay, I'm feeling kind of good because I knew that one.
You knew that one. Okay. See?
I didn't.
I thought that was kind of obvious. Right, so number four, Rick Deckard. Rick Deckard. Drew's thinking. He thinks he knows it. Rick.
Switching.
Deckard. I almost want to start throwing out lines of dialogue or something to help, but that would be cheating.
It would be.
Not fair.
Until it's my turn.
No, I can, until she goes
Harrison
off.
Ford?
That is correct.
God damn it. Blade Runner.
That is correct. Very good. Deckard, yes.
I didn't know what his name was. Yeah.
Deckard. I just remember Deckard. Like, Deckard. I'm sitting like, is his name really fucking Rick?
I had to look up his first name, and I was going to say earlier, one of the examples you brought up was like Steven. No, these are full names. First name, last name. And I had to look up some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them.
I knew Deckard, but I wasn't sure that it was Rick.
Go with your first instinct on some of these.
Rick.
On some of these games. Go with your first instinct. Mm-hmm. Alright? Don't think too deep on them. Except for maybe this one. Number five. Vic Vega. That's a name you know. You know that name. Vic Vega.
Do.
Yeah, you do. You know
I
it.
Do.
Chico thinks he knows it, right? You're nodding. You think you know it? Yeah. Vic Vega. Drew's thinking hard. Looking up in the sky. He's looking at the ceiling fan. Shaking his head. No, I don't want to take a guess. Nah. Don't want to throw an actor or actress name out there. Actress is Vic. Obviously not an actress. No, Chico, do you think you knew what that one was?
I know who his brother is, but I'm trying to remember his actual name.
Who's the brother? Go ahead, say
Vincent
that.
Vega.
Vincent Vega.
And I'm trying to Vic Vega by... from... That's John Travolta.
In Pulp Fiction, yes.
But then I'm trying to remember his name from Reservoir Dogs.
Yes. Can you think of the actor's name? Michael Madsen.
Madsen, that's what it is.
Yes, yep. Michael Madsen. And then the Tarantino was going to do the Vega brothers for a while, but that never happened. Two out of five, Drew. Rough. Chico. All
right.
We could be looking at a win streak here against Mr. Cogburn. Here we go. Number one, Ellen.
Two-star rating right now.
Two-star rating. Number one. No, then we're not going to read it. You can rate it. Rate it 2 stars. That's fine. We're not going to read it. And I will not click on, was this review helpful? I'll click on no, for sure. Number one, Ellen Ripley.
Sigourney Weaver.
That's correct. Number two, Nico Toscani. That's the Aaron Cross of the group. And they're trying to make the two groups match in terms of difficulty. I try my best. Nico Toscani.
When he said Nico, I was thinking Wesley Snipes because I was trying to remember his name from Demolition Man. It's killing me right now. But the shit, I have no idea.
No idea? No one want to take a guess?
Nico Toscani. I have no idea what that is.
Nico Toscani is Steven Seagal. In his first movie, Steven Seagal's name was Nico. As a matter of fact, in international markets, this is just a psychological fact. In international markets.
Psychological.
Psychology. There's a real book right behind you. There's a psychology book behind you. I'm not. No, this is for real.
Yeah.
This is for real. Very real. And it's a bummer that he's like a total right-wing, Russia-loving asshole too now too. But still, I am not going to turn my back on years of psychology. He, his very first movie, Hard to Kill? No, Above the Law. No. Hard to Kill. No. Yes. Hard to Kill. His very first movie, Hard to Kill. His character name, the cop, was Nico Toscani. In the subsequent movies, Marked for Death, Hard to Kill, Above the... Whatever. In international markets, like in Italy, they were all called Nico. And when they redubbed the dialogue, his character name was always renamed Nico. So they renamed the movies are called Nico, Nico 2, Nico 3, Nico 4. Even though they're completely different movies with different characters, but in international markets, like we'll just pretend
they're all Steven Seagal.
They're all Steven Seagal.
All the same characters.
Yeah. So anyway,
Nico.
So you got that wrong, motherfucker. Number three, Calvin Candy. Calvin Candy. Drew, any idea? I'm looking at you. No. Calvin Candy. Drew has no idea.
Oh. No idea.
No idea. No.
I cannot.
That is Leonardo DiCaprio in Django Unchained. Yeah. His name is Calvin Candy. Candyland.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Candyland. God damn.
I know, right?
Number four. Elwood Blues.
Elwood. So, I know the movie.
Drew's looking at me like, you motherfucker. You could have said Group B. You could have.
Dan Aykroyd.
That is correct. Yes, that's the thing. I wanted to see if you could remember who was Jake.
That's
and
what I was trying. I'm sitting there looking at him like.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to. I was trying to fuck you up with that. Yes, 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 precisely. All right, guys, you're tied so far. If you can get this last one, Chico, you win. Or else we go to the tiebreaker. Number five, are you ready?
Three stars.
Stacker Pentecost.
Really?
Drew, you notice? Drew knows this. Stacker Pentecost.
Only because the name is so ridiculous. When I heard it, I was like, are you fucking kidding
and
me?
And I think we talked about it on a recent episode or something.
Oh, man.
Stacker. God damn it. It is such a ridiculous name.
It is. It's so... Oh, God. It's so silly.
I mean, Stacker as a first name is insane. Yeah. Pentecost as a last name is insane. Yeah. Put them together in one name. Couldn't even be Dan Pentecost or Stacker Jones.
Nope. That'd be Stacker Pentecost.
The worst part is that I'm trying to take the name and then put a movie to it. Like, what? Because I have no idea.
What kind of movie?
I'm like, I know. Is this a religious movie? Pentecost?
Pentecost. I know exactly. Yeah. I know exactly.
I'm like, does Stacker have something to do with the movie? Like, his name? Does he do something?
Is it Jenga the movie?
Does he stack stuff? Is he a religious Jenga player? Is that a movie?
Is it Super Mario Brothers from Wreck-It Ralph? What's going on?
I have no idea.
No idea. That is
Idris Elba. Idris Elba
in Pacific Rim.
I heard that and I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
His name is insane. Take that piece of paper.
Take that piece of paper.
You got a pen? Make sure this pen. Marker. No, use the pen. You're going to want the pen. Make sure that pen works, Drew. Okay? Here we go, guys. Find just the right way to do this.
Stacker Pentecost. So silly.
Okay. Here's the tiebreaker. Guys, you both have a pen and piece of paper.
Yes.
Here's what we're going to do. When I say go, I'm going to play some music. When the music stops, you guys got to stop and give me the piece of paper. When I say go, write down as many Steven Seagal movies as you can think of. Go. Wait, here we go. Go. And they're going. And they're writing down Steven Seagal movies. Drew is putting his head on the table. He's putting his head on the table.
I'm
why aren't you?
Blank,
he's,
I'm he's, drawing he's, a he's fucking blank right now.
Drew's blanking. Chico's writing.
We just talked about like five or six of them.
I just mentioned a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
And you're spending time. Ridiculous. And you're talking to me instead of writing. Got think, right? Think, I've think, got think,
nothing.
Think. Steven Seagal. Seagalology is a thing. Do it. Here we go. And I don't have a prescribed amount of time. I didn't say 30 seconds, 45 seconds. This is totally arbitrary. Whenever I feel like stopping the music, it's like musical chairs. When I feel like stopping the music is when we're stopping it. Chico's writing. Drew is shaking his head no. I'm just going to call it. Stop right there. Give me the pieces of paper.
I've only got two.
Give me the pieces of paper. Here we go.
I think I'm right with the third one.
Drew.
I got two.
Drew, Hard to Kill and Glimmer Man. Excellent. The Glimmer Man. Very good. That is an epically bad one. Chico with only three. Mark for Death, Above the Law. Air Force One. That is incorrect. He was not an Air Force One. He's an executive decision. Because you gave me a wrong movie, Juicy Cockburn. I declare you to be the winner. Juicy Cockburn wins.
Damn it. Executive decision is where he dies right at the
beginning. Yeah, right at the beginning. Yeah.
He's pushing up.
Because they're airplane based. They're both Die Hard on an airplane. Yeah. Both movies are Die Hard on an airplane. That's why you got to make
pushing up Kurt Russell, right? Because Kurt Russell plays the square.
He's
in that
making
movie.
Sure he gets Kurt Russell in the airplane, and he closes the hatch, and then the thing breaks because the seal wasn't complete. I can completely see.
It took me forever too. I'm sitting there I stopped writing. I froze.
I can completely see why you would make that mistake.
I could not think of a single Steven Seagal movie.
Like I said, you thought of two of them.
Two.
And one of them was a fucking Glimmer Man.
I mean, how can you not remember the Glimmer Man?
The Glimmer Man.
You see the glimmer.
And then you're dead. But then how do you know it's a glimmer? If you die, how can you tell? I saw a glimmer, but you're dead.
It's so silly.
Fuck you guys. I'm still calling it a tie in my world.
No.
This there can't be ties.
This is my show. There can't be ties.
When we tie in the tiebreaker, that's not good. Chris's brain melts down.
Yeah.
Fatal error.
I was not aware that my wrong answer would. I wouldn't have put a wrong answer if I knew it was worth negative 2 points.
I never thought of the idea of someone writing down a wrong answer.
Chico.
I am both. Yeah, that goes. This is Cinema Crespo Diso. I'm making this shit up as I go along.
This is simulated Crespo Diso.
Three and a half stars.
Simulated Crespo Diso. So it's all the simulacron version of Cinema Crespo Diso. This is the fake version of it.
It's like Westworld Crespo Diso.
I'm going to write 3 one-star reviews.
wait a second. No. Okay. Look. Chico, you can do that. But then we're not gonna read it, man.
It's fine. It's the fact that I'm doing it.
And then you're gonna make our reviews.
I'm gonna cackle laugh as I post each one at one star. So when you see that you get the review, you're like, a review has been made.
Just one star.
Chico. Like, motherfucker. Like, I'm just gonna put the little the dash Chico for the one star dash Chico.
Chico. And then another one will be 1 star and then poop emoji.
Poop emoji, horny devil face.
And then 1 star will be like, fuck Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Air Force One, man. That's the one with
Harrison Ford,
President Han Solo.
It's the same goddamn movie. So one doesn't have Steven Seagal dying at the beginning.
Yeah, dude, that's the thing.
And that's where I was. I'm like, is that the one he died?
Like, people are like, this is called something else? Steven Seagal's gonna be in this one, and then he dies right away. Like, oh, now we're stuck with John Leguizamo.
Yeah, I mean, well, there was, and then I mean,
you know, what I couldn't think
of. Why does that happen so often?
Where he's the cook on the ship.
Under Siege 2. I would have even taken just Under Siege 2, despite the title being Under Siege 2, : Anyone? No? Anyone?
No.
Dark Territory.
Dark Territory.
Chico,
that's the one I couldn't.
Give me that book binding if you could real quick.
It's like, I would have given you points for any of these movies.
I took away 2 points.
We're going to do. I've been working. Look, this book has been read.
No, it's beat.
This book has been read. I got things highlighted in here, okay?
you have liner notes.
This is Seagalogy, a study of the ass-kicking films of Steven Seagal by Verne, and this is like the second edition. There's like 3 or 4 editions now. And the chapters end with these things.
I resisted the urge to turn back and look at it just to see if there was an answer on it. I wanted to look back, and I'm like, I'm not
going to. There would have been nothing there for you. But each one ends with like this rundown here of like each one. It says Seagal regulars first, like for example in the very first movie, it's the first appearance of a ponytail. Just how badass is this guy, and like the dialogue in every movie that explains how badass is he anyway. And it has the listing of movies here. I was expecting at least the early ones, guys. Above the Law, Hard to Kill, Mark for Death, Out for Justice. That's the golden era.
Those are the first four. One doesn't. I don't remember that one.
Out for Justice is the one where William Forsythe is the crackhead. Nico does something. Nico spends a day going around Brooklyn looking for the guy that shoots his partner in broad daylight. You don't remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
And William Forsythe is fat and sweaty with a mustache, smoking crack. That movie, Out for Justice, is the best Seagal movie. It's a fucking great goddamn movie. Like, Seagal or not, it's awesome.
I think I'm going to look for that one today. Streaming and watch it.
Out for Justice is my favorite one. Followed by Under Siege. On Deadly Ground, the only one that he directed.
Oh, yeah, that was with the Alaskans.
The Alaskan ones, yes. Only one he directed. Under Siege 2, Dark Territory. Executive Decision is the one you mistook for Air Force One. The Glimmer Man is the one that Drew said that got him to win.
Silly.
Fire Down Below is the weird one where he's wearing the Tassels jacket. And
the Tassels jacket!
Everyone always makes fun of him for the Tassels, and it's in like the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah!
And he's fixing porches and beating people up and like dumping shit in the water or whatever.
The Tassel jacket. I always wanted that jacket.
And that's the end of the Golden Era and the Silver Era that runs from 88 to 97. Then there's a transitional period where he did like Exit Wounds and Half-Past Dead. Those were in movies. And then the direct-to-video era.
Who was with him in Exit Wounds? That was
DMX.
DMX.
And then Half-Past Dead was
damn it,
Ja Rule. And then after that, if you could have named anything from the direct-to-video era, I would have been shocked because these are some generic-ass fucking titles. Like The Foreigner, Out of Reach, Today You Die. That's actually a fun title. Mercenary for Justice. What the fuck is that? Anyway.
He's a mercenary for justice, Chris.
We'll be talking a lot about Seagalogy. He's got a lot of... The whole idea behind Seagalogy, the author, Verne, the guy who came up with the whole thing, is that there are a lot of very specific motifs throughout all of his movies and things that come up over and over again. That's what he tracks. And it's there in the first 20-something movies. There's like 27. In his first 27 movies, there's just things that run through the whole thing and the evolution of his career. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. It's also a hysterical book, so that helps as well. So that was Drew Seagal versus the World. We appreciate that. We already did these sets of movies. What we have left. Oh, you know what?
we already mentioned this, you can email us cinemacrespiso@gmail.com. Send us your reviews, your topic suggestions, questions, etc., etc., and we'll read it in the segment of the people, the voice of the people. We call that the Vox Populi, and I hit the wrong button, and here we go.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Here we go. Drew Sacogburn, take it away.
Got an email from Scott from last week that we missed.
Yeah, we recorded our Christmas episode a day early because Christmas was on Sunday. So, Scott, we missed your email. We're going to read it. Here we go.
He's got a review and a haiku for us.
Nice.
I'm no Christmas guy. Don't really see the point, but happy holidays.
575, very good.
The only movie I saw this week was Frozen. Okay. And for the first time. Finally, right? I mean, has anybody here seen Frozen?
I haven't seen Frozen.
I have. My wife loved it, so
yeah.
It's one of those things that we watched a couple times already.
Do you like it?
No.
All right.
But you know, you do things
yeah.
in a relationship that you don't want to do.
Yes, you do.
And in ours is I watch fucking Frozen.
Okay. There you go.
90 minutes.
And I sit on the toilet and sing Let It Go.
Let It Go.
It is the ultimate toilet song to me. If you sing it on the toilet, it is completely fitting. As you sit there, you say,
Let it go. Oh, there we go.
I mean, where have I been? I know. I'm very late to this party, and after all the hubbub over the last 2 years, I guess I was expecting true Disney masterpiece. But sorry, nah. Frozen is just okay in my book.
Oh, wow. All right,
sure, Let It Go is a great song. and the accompanying visual sequence in the movie is quite worthy of its millions of YouTube views. I'm responsible for more than a dozen of those. But the rest of Frozen is just meh. I honestly don't understand why this particular Disney movie became such a phenomenon. I personally think Moana was a much better movie/musical, but it's not getting nearly as much juice. I know, but still, don't want to think that America is just that racist. But, whatever. neither holds a candle to The Little Mermaid. That's forever my Disney jam. Take care, guys. Scott.
Thanks, Scott. We appreciate that. The Frozen review from last week, your holiday movie review.
I'd agree with him, too, about The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a great Disney film.
It is.
It is.
For sure. If you don't think about it too much, though.
It's no Fox and the Hound.
The prince character is supposed to be like a teenager, but he doesn't seem like a teenager, so it's very much like a wisest older guy.
It is definitely a wisest 30-year-old dude trying to bang it out with this 16-year-old mermaid.
Obviously 16-year-old. There's
no laws against banging a young underage mermaid, right?
No.
There are.
I mean, I hope not.
I don't know. I don't know what the laws of the underwater kingdom are in terms of consent.
I don't know what the age of mermaid consent is.
What is the age of mermaid consent? Maybe Mark Wahlberg knows. We'll find out in next week's Boston Mermaid Love Story. That's a new show that I'm working on. I'm going to pitch it to A&E. Boston Mermaid Love Story.
Awesome.
Mark Wahlberg goes. Mark Wahlberg.
There's a mermaid out there.
Goes into the underground kingdom to find love in the mermaid. No, his wife isn't going to go for that. Can they eat burgers underwater?
Yes.
Let's move on with the Vox Populi. Let's get off this line of thought.
We've got a Facebook message from Mr. Paul Hine.
What's up, Paul?
Says, I saw American Honey.
American Honey, here we go.
And it was a struggle to get through this nearly 3-hour snooze fest.
Aww.
The plot of the movie is misguided youths selling magazines door-to-door across America. All of the characters outside the main two are unimportant after they introduce themselves and just become background noise throughout. Most of the screen time is 18 to 20-something-year-olds riding around in a van with horrible rap music. Throw in a crazy white dude showing his dick. No, it's not Shia. And a lame-ass love story.
It's not Shia's thing!
LaBeouf is the best part, but even he can't save this one.
Alright.
American Honey.
American Honey is, it came out maybe 6 months ago. Here in town, it played for 1 week. It got very good reviews. Paul didn't like it very much, and actually read a review a couple weeks ago that was explored. It's like the way this movie gets into race, because it's about a young biracial girl. She's maybe 16 or 17, maybe 18. Runs away from home, joins a group of teenagers who are on a road trip through America, and they're these the magazine door-to-door scammers. You know, You know, the Tom and Dan back in the day used to refer to them as the raccoon in the box guys. Like, I'm selling this raccoon in the box, right? And it's it did get a lot of great reviews in terms of being a road movie. It is by an English person, which is a British person, which is what that one thing that I read about the racial overtones of it was like, I don't understand why this English person, their view of it was in terms of the view of Southern America and how hip hop is fine in the movie if it's listened to by a bunch of white people, and how there's only one like colored person in the movie and it's a lead character, and I don't know, it's a weird thing. But it got a lot of good play at festivals and things like that. But then when it played in theaters,
nobody seemed to care.
It came out on a Friday. It was gone by the next Friday.
Oh, that bad.
Yeah. It just
no traction.
Push out of the theaters here immediately.
Oh. Wow.
And it's also another one where it was a very long movie. It was like 2.5 hours.
You think it has something to do with Shia LaBeouf? Like,
does he
have like a stigma to it where nobody cares anymore?
It's possible where people just don't like him, they're turned off by him, and also he's in full on dirtbag mode in this movie, like tattoos and stuff, and just the character that he's playing, maybe it would be like a little too much for people. Like, I don't want to see this guy be this asshole. It's Shia LaBeouf. I think it's okay, but anyway. Thanks, Paul. We appreciate it. What else you got, Drew?
Oh, I got some reviews from Scott.
So what's up, Scott? We're back, Scott. Now this is Scott's this week email.
Yes, he's got reviews of Fences, Passengers, Assassin's Creed, Office, Christmas Party, Batman, The Killing Joke.
Jesus fucking Christ, here we go.
Fences. So what happens when Denzel Washington is given the script to a play, the lead fucking role, and he's allowed to direct the whole thing? Well, he monologues the hell out of that motherfucker.
Which is what I want to see. I like Denzel monologuing.
This whole film is...
Right, Chico?
It's good, but sometimes it's too much.
It can be too much for some people. My mom hates Denzel monologuing. She doesn't like Denzel that much. She goes like, all he does is give speeches. But I'm like, I like the speeches. I like them. I think he's good.
I don't mind them once in a while in a film, but if it's too much, it's just...
Then don't see Fences, because apparently that's the whole thing. It's going to be like, you live under my roof or with my food. All right, go ahead, Drew.
This whole film is just Denzel holding court for 2 hours, and there's no one to rein him in. Scene after scene, it's all about him. I challenge you, take the DVD... Pick any timestamp at random, and you're almost guaranteed to land smack in the middle of Denzel speechifying about something. But hey, to its credit, it's extremely well-written dialogue, and Denzel is superb. Duh. So while we may be gorging ourselves on steak, at least it's filet mignon. Though I really feel sorry for Viola Davis, because Denzel steals every damn scene, even though she's every bit as good. 3 out of 4 stars.
All right, fair enough. Like Drew pointed out, the movie's coming out this weekend, not looking too hot. We may get some movies expanding wide release, because it's, you know how it is, Chico, at the end of the year, this is when you get all the Oscar movies, the less commercial stuff, so they put them out in New York and LA, like Live by Night, that Ben Affleck movie, that'll come out here January 13th. It's already been playing in New York and LA for like a week, maybe 2 weeks, Chicago, etc., etc. We're not cool enough, we're Orlando. Still like the 20th media market in the country.
We could be there, but that's a whole
political conversation.
That's
a whole other bunch of bullshit we're not going to get into.
That'll be the next episode of Paul, of Talking Politics with Paul and Tolitics.
Talking Politics with Paul and Tolitics. He's Paul, I'm Tolitics. We're going to have
a great idea.
And we're going to be talking politics. I think it's a great idea, but Drew refuses to do it.
Fuck that shit.
I love the name.
Yeah. Talking Politics with Paul and Tolitics.
Anyway, go ahead, Drew.
All right, Passengers is next. Stranded, boring. Kind of funny, boring. Stranded, manufactured meat cute. Romance, still boring, still stranded, and that's pretty much the first 70 minutes. It felt way longer than that. It just takes forever for this movie to get us to where we're promised in the trailers. It slogs through a castaway story, then meanders through a rom-com story, and then when it finally gets to the action sci-fi stuff, sadly, it's just tired cliche after tired cliche. I have to stay behind and probably die. Of course you do. The tether isn't long enough. Of course it isn't. Lawrence and Pratt do have awesome chemistry, whether they're in survival mode or just wooing mode. But man, they really deserved a stronger script. This could have been so much better. 2.5 out of 4.
All right. He did bring up something that, another thing that bothered me about Passengers. Because of the marketing... We know it's Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. They're both awake on the ship, right? In the movie...
First third, no Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence doesn't get waken up for like maybe 30 minutes, 35, 40 minutes. So we're waiting to get to a point in the story that we're just like, we know we're going to get here. We have to watch him like walk around the ship like, oh my god, I'm alone. Like, yeah, we know you're alone. Like, you're the last person to know in right. this whole scenario that you're alone. And it's like, oh, then he's gonna like fall in love with her and like think about it. And then there's a whole like a scene where he's contemplating, should I wake, should I open her pod, should
it's like,
I
we
do
know
this?
You open her pod,
we know you're gonna open it, that's the point of the movie, that's why we're here. So it's yeah,
it's hard to market that without
yes
showing Jennifer Lawrence there, because then people are gonna be like, oh, it's just Chris Pratt, right?
Yes, and exactly they
say, it says Jennifer Lawrence.
Where is she?
Chris Pratt in exactly. Space Castaway.
Exactly. That is 100% correct. It is, the movie, the story itself is hard to market. Just because something is hard to market and hard to sell doesn't mean you shouldn't make it, but it did lead to problems with actually seeing the movie.
But it would have been much better if there's that scene in there where he's debating on doing it. You've completely ruined it already for me.
Yeah.
So it would be much better if I didn't know. If I saw that maybe, you know, I don't know it's her.
Like, oh shit, he's going to do it. And then the pot opens up. We're like, oh shit, it's Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah. But then you want to sell the movie that, because Jennifer Lawrence is one of the biggest movie stars in the world right now.
Name attached to it.
You want that extra few million dollars that she's going to bring to the box office receipts. So, yeah, it's a tough sell. It's hard.
Assassin's Creed.
Here we go. Let's see. I'm sure he agrees with us, but we'll see. Go ahead. Maybe he loves it.
I'm not a gamer. I don't know the source material. The only thing I knew about Assassin's Creed going into this movie was how much I love the dope hooded tunics that the assassins wear. Costuming. That was it for me.
I almost bought one at Hot Topic. And they have them. They have them. Really? I put one on. I'm like, I could actually wear this out. I could actually wear this. It's long. It's got that long, the huge hood over that hangs over your face.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what I would do. Where? But I'm like, this is really awesome.
I could walk around and be an assassin.
I'm like, this is going to change my life.
That is hysterical.
And now, what I know coming out of this is, it just wasn't a good movie. I would think the ultimate goal for any video game movie is to make people like me, people who don't know anything about the game, at least like the movie version. This movie fails to engage us snoobs who are just looking for a cool, well-structured action flick. I can only imagine how the fans of the game are feeling. 2 out of 4.
All right, there you go. Pretty much agreeing with Juicy Cogburn, which is why the earlier Drew called it Assassin's Creed disappointing.
Yes. All right.
Office Christmas Party, here we go.
A perfunctory party movie, but the star power gives it a little boost. Aniston surprises a bit. T.J. Miller is T.J. Miller.
I like T.J. Miller.
Olivia Munn is hot and smart and hot and smart.
Hot and smart. That sounded like a Willy Wonka.
Courtney B. Vance crushes his party scenes. Shame that they blew his epic pratfall in the trailers. And when Jillian Bell showed up unexpectedly, I literally whispered, yes, and did a mini fist pump in the theater. And of course, Kate McKinnon continues to be a goddess of comedy. 2.5 out of 4.
All right, slightly better than Assassin's Creed.
Batman the Killing Joke.
That's that animated version of the Alan Moore Killing Joke one where Joker kills or paralyzes Barbara Gordon.
Once again, I don't know the source material here, and I haven't watched any of the animated Batman stuff, but I just heard so much buzz about Killing Joke this year, so when it came up on HBO, I had to watch it.
Oh, it's on HBO?
And first thing, the HBO ratings preface mentioned nudity and rape, and I thought, holy fuck, really? I thought I was in for the darkest, most twisted Batman I'll ever see, and it's a friggin' cartoon, but nah. The nudity was a modestly drawn naked man, and the mere notion of rape was barely even alluded to. Knowing the Joker's penchant for mind games, he might not have violated that person at all, and I am a sicko that such things got my hopes up. Anyway, I definitely could have done without the Joker origin story. I prefer an anonymous Joker. The insight killed the mystique for me, and as much as I tend to like the musicals, the Joker's musical number was not appreciated. The rest of Killing Joke was really good, but damn. Oh, and I just didn't get the Joker's joke at the end. I've rewound it 3 times and still don't get it, but Batman seemed to get it, so maybe the animated shit just isn't for me. 2.5 out of 4.
Interesting.
Happy New Year's to everyone. Take care, guys. Scott.
Thanks, Scott. Happy New Year's to you, too.
Nice. Happy New Year's, Scott.
You know, I watched that as well.
You watched the Batman Killing Joke?
It's not that good.
It's not that good? What's wrong with it, Drew?
The animation is awful.
I could tell from the marketing.
Yeah, it reminded me of the old WB.
It was worse than that.
Even worse than that.
It was worse than that. And like,
I didn't like it. Like, I felt it was very choppy.
Yeah, that's what it looked like, choppy.
Yeah, that's what I used to think of the WB Batman. But that's the same thing I used to think of. I was like, it was kind of choppy.
WB one was
more
fluid, I thought.
While they, you know, stayed quote unquote true to the source material, it wasn't as dark. Because,
interesting,
you know, in the comic book, spoiler, yeah, she totally got raped.
totally got, you know, paralyzed, shot.
I have the book at home.
All that fun stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's, they call it the killing joke, and, you know, that's the joke. Ha ha! Paralyzed and raped. Funny, Commissioner Gordon, right?
Right.
That's the joke, Scott. The joke is what happened to her, unfortunately. You know, Joker's a sick fuck.
He is. He's a motherfucker. Fuck that guy.
But they did leave it as on the killing joke movie.
Yeah.
That as if it, you don't know if he did. It doesn't actually show it. And he's right, because of the way the Joker fucks around. He might not have even have done it, has raped her.
Yeah.
They leave it open where it's open to interpretation depending on how you look at the character.
That is a sense of humor. Yeah. He would joke about that.
He would. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So you like for Batman to be tortured over, did he? Did he not? Did he? And then she doesn't remember what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that guy.
Love it.
Fuck the Joker. Thanks, Scott. We really appreciate it, dude. What else we got going on in the Vox Populi segment of the people, the voice of the people?
We got... I'm trying to pick one. Sorry.
Is that a new sound effect?
You turned into a robot over there.
We got to take
off in the outer space.
We got an email from Carmella.
Shutting down. From Carmella? Mm-hmm. What's up, Carmella?
I really want to thank you guys for the Channel Zero recommendation from last Wednesday's bonus episode.
Oh, yes. Okay, real quick. We did a talking TV bonus episode last week. One of the shows we reviewed was a sci-fi show. It's only 6 episodes, Chico. Called Channel Zero, Candle Cove. Highly recommended. If you like creepy TV, highly recommended.
Okay.
Go ahead, Drew.
I would have never found this on sci-fi on my own. The show is super creepy, and I think most fans of Stranger Things will enjoy the much darker Channel Zero. Channel Zero out of 6.9 Crespos.
Actually, and that's another thing, too. Billy D, our homie, he did a Billy D set through movies on Channel Zero like a month ago, and he said the same thing. It's like Stranger Things, but for adults.
Yeah, it's way darker. Okay.
Yeah, it is way darker.
It is way darker.
It is.
I'm definitely going to have to check it out.
It is fucked up. It's good stuff. Channel Zero. Check it out. It's on Sci-Fi Channel.
Hopefully I can return the favor. Check out Search Party on TBS.
Yes, I've been seeing the commercials. I want to see the show. Go ahead.
The show starts off with a Twin Peaks-like mystery and steadily builds to an epic season one finale. Alia Shawkat from Arrested Development and Green Room is fantastic in her first lead role. I don't want to give any of the plot away because of spoilers, but I will say Search Party manages to combine suspense and dark comedy in a unique way. 6.2349 out of 6.9 Crespos.
Alright, there you go. Yeah. Search Party, I've seen... What were we watching that we kept seeing the commercials for? Every time you pull up on demand.
Don't remember.
Watching something on demand, and you know how they throw in the commercials for the same thing over and over when you watch it on demand? Kept seeing the Search Party commercial over and over, and they're like, stream the entire first season on TBS.
See, I've stopped watching a lot of the on-demand stuff through my DirecTV. I'm pretty much just Netflix and streaming everything. I mean,
interesting.
I don't catch a lot of stuff.
I think this is now just on, you would have to have like a subscription, a cable subscription, because I think it's on TBS On Demand, which obviously now every channel has an on-demand channel, but you never even think of checking the TBS On Demand. Like, what am I going to watch? Or TNT? What am I watching? An old NBA on TNT?
Yes.
Old Law and Orders.
Yeah.
I was about to say, that's why I love TNT.
This guy, that always just watch. Oh, yesterday, you watched, I don't know how many goddamn Law and Orders.
Probably that's 2 or 3
days. There was a time when I was recording every single one, trying to put together a whole series to watch them.
You see,
they're on Netflix now.
They are.
I couldn't
They are. They're on Netflix in order.
They've been on Netflix for years in order. This guy will still watch them on them.
No, I watch them on TV. I'm currently going through
every Star Trek The Next Generation in order. I recorded them all onto my DVR because I had this huge marathon.
Yeah.
Recorded them all, and I'm going through them, and I'm on season 6.
Jesus.
Nice.
Right now. I started watching it this morning as I was getting ready.
Yeah.
And I paused it in between. Picard just got shot in the heart.
No, Picard, no!
And he's gone. He's died. And guess who is in heaven? Q is in heaven. What? He's still there?
Fucking
beautiful.
Fucking Star Trek.
Oh, man.
And Worf's hair keeps changing.
Yeah.
Is it really? Because you're watching season to season. So you're seeing a production design changes. Yeah.
They keep going like, make it a little bit shorter, a little bit poofier,
a little bit longer.
A little bit sleek as it's getting
it's like arbitrarily changed.
Like, did the wrinkles in his head, change it? Actually,
yeah, check the ridges.
Sure, from watching, I looked it up. They lost the original prosthetic for his head and it did change. And I was like, well, I'm like, did Worf's wrinkles change? And I'm like, holy shit, they did change. They lost the original prosthetic and they had to redesign.
He has more ridges now. That's hysterical.
Worf now with more ridges.
God damn it, Chico. You gotta get off that Star Trek, man. That's too much. When you're noticing the ridges on the heads changing, you gotta get off that shit. Back to the Vox Popeye. What else we got?
We got an email from
at Rage Against Twit.
Our homie, Rage Against Twit.
He's got his top. He's got his top 10 of 2016.
He's already got his top 10 of 2016. All right, we ain't gonna have ours for a couple of weeks. But let's hear it. Here we go.
Honorable mentions: Morris from America. Don't Breathe. Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yep.
Jungle Book.
Yep.
Magnificent Seven.
All good movies. I like all those movies.
Coming in at number 10, Pete's Dragon.
All right, number 10, Pete's Dragon. Number nine.
Zootopia.
Number 8.
Doctor Strange.
Ooh, number 7.
Deadpool.
What? Number 6.
Rogue One.
Ooh, number 5.
The Witch.
Number 4.
Sausage Party.
What? Number 3.
Arrival.
That's crazy. Arrival. That makes sense. Number 2.
10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, that's actually kind of surprising. That's generally surprising. That's kind of high. Number 1.
The Nice Guys.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I love The Nice Guys. We got the poster right there. Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling. You ever see that one?
I did not because I didn't think it was worth watching at all.
It's good. It's
totally
good.
Worth checking out, dude.
Those guys, they have it. Whatever it is that, you know, two people come together and form a team, those guys have it.
Yeah.
All right. Let me write this down.
Here's a pen. Write it down. The Nice Guys is totally worth watching.
I wrote
down
Out for Justice, and I'm writing down The Nice Guys.
No, seriously. The Nice Guys. It's a Shane Black movie.
Both great movies for different reasons. Interesting. Glenn Cloverfield name number 2. Nice Guys number 1. I like that. It's a good list. Good list of movies there, Gabe. Oh. Our homie Rage Against Twit on the Twitter. Thank you very much, sir. That was such
surprised how high you put the Sausage Party.
Me too.
I like Sausage Party a lot too, but I don't think it cracked my top 10.
It was good, but I mean, it's good. Like, I'm flipping channels.
I don't think it's
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure it's like top either. 25 for me of the year, maybe. You know, out of like 60, 70 movies I saw.
For creativity, very creative. I love the concept, but I'm watching it, I'm like,
I appreciate the message. I like what they're going for. But yeah, at the end of the day,
better movies are made.
Movies that, yeah, at the end of the day, movies that I like more. What are you going to do? It's art. All right, anything else we got going on the Vox Populi?
We've got an email from Lindsay Smith.
All right, Lindsay, let's hear it.
Hey, guys. I don't know why I waited so long to watch Trumbo, besides the fact that I'm poor, and had to wait for it to hit streaming, because the casting is bonkers. The guy that got to play Kirk Douglas looks exactly like him.
Yeah.
I had to look him up on IMDb, because I thought they did a Peter Cushing and CG-led and CG'd his face onto some other unknown actor. But it's actually that guy's face. It's weird because nobody else in the movie looks like the real people they're playing. It freaked me out. I don't know why. Lindsay.
Here's a side-by-side of the actor who played Kirk Douglas and Kirk Douglas.
Okay.
Obviously, they did a little bit of makeup in the movie. But he did look pretty close to it.
Same
absolutely.
Size face.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And the nose, weird nose thing.
A damn good job of casting. Like, they had measurements.
But she is right, though. Lindsay's right. It is weird how... So this one guy, they found this one guy to play Kirk Douglas in this movie, Trumbo. Looks just like him. No one else in the movie looks like...
No.
Michael Stuhlbarg doesn't look like... No. What's his name? Edward G. Robinson.
Bryan Cranston
doesn't look like Dalton Trumbo. Like, they didn't bother making anyone look like anyone else, but they found the one guy who looked exactly like Kirk Douglas to play Kirk Douglas.
Kind of weird.
It's kind of weird.
Picture a cutout.
Trumbo
had a cutout in casting. Like, stick your face in this hole.
Yes.
Nope. Like,
that works.
That's the first thing they did. Nope. Okay, go over
next.
There.
Next. Oh, I think we got one. Join the line.
Join the line of everybody with the same size face.
Who look vaguely like Kirk Douglas. Yeah, and then they go through that line. Casting's weird, man. It's weird. Thanks, Lindsay. We really appreciate it. Anything else, Jerm?
No, sir. That was... Be box
all right, that means it's time for movie news. Here we go.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during
their
romantic Caribbean
getaway. Opens up about
navigating
the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
Here we go, movie news segment time. This is where we talk about hot beach bods, celebrity divorces, and of course, most importantly, Drew, what do we talk about?
What's going on with the Biebs?
Chico. We need our Biebs update.
What's going on with the Biebs?
Chico, what's going on with the Biebs?
Last thing I heard, he was jacking off at restaurants.
Oh, man.
Why is he jacking off at restaurants now?
He's hit a new low.
I'm not putting it out there. Like, it's the same thing when he went and pissed in the bucket.
I remember pissing in the bucket at the restaurant.
It's progressed now.
Now he's jacking off at
restaurants. Full on masturbations. That's what I heard.
There you go. That's your Biebs
update.
Biebs update. Thank you, Chico, for this week's Biebs update. Not everyone has a Biebs update. We're glad that you had one. Thank you very much. Movie news segment. Guys, we're going to talk about a couple of things super quick. First off, La La Land. All right, that movie's out now with Ryan Gosling. Damien Chazelle is the guy who wrote and directed it. It's his follow-up to the movie Whiplash. You ever see Whiplash, the drummer's movie with Miles Teller?
No,
and
I did not.
Great
really
movie.
Good.
Love it.
La La Land, the musical, is his follow-up to that. Him and Ryan Gosling have come up with a follow-up. They are working together again. Drew, what do you think Damien Chazelle's next movie is going to be about? You started with a movie about drummers.
Then tortured jazz musician of sorts.
Tortured jazz musician, interesting. Close. You're close. They are going to do a movie that is the life and times of Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon.
The life and times.
The life and times, yes.
Was Neil Armstrong a jazz musician?
He was not a jazz musician. He did Walk on the Moon, though. The movie will focus on the years of 1961 and 1969.
As told by jazz.
As told through the power of jazz, because they love jazz. The script is based off a book, First Man, A Life of Neil A. Armstrong. So,
How interesting can his life
be? How interesting can it be? I besides mean, the whole Walking on the Moon thing.
I mean, the Walking on the Moon thing is cool, but if you go into his life otherwise...
Like,
aren't you that guy?
Well, no, I mean, if he was...
You're just a white guy. Just a white guy having to walk on the moon.
If he was an astronaut, that mean he was probably a pilot of some sort. He had a military record, so he was in probably some wars.
Yeah, if you check out the right stuff, there's all the talk about the fighter pilots and all that kind of stuff. You know, that goes on for sure. We mentioned this earlier real quick. Netflix and Disney, they got a deal going on, right? Where Disney is using Netflix to do their streaming stuff. There's also a deal with Hulu. Netflix struck two deals. Disney struck two deals with Hulu and Netflix. And this is how they're splitting them up. Everything that Disney puts out in 2016 or later will be on Netflix. Everything that came out before 2016 on Hulu. So there you go.
Okay.
So that's just a little bit of shorthand for you. So yeah, Rogue One, Star Wars, all that stuff should be on Netflix. Yeah. Because it's after, it's 2016 and later.
Yeah.
It should be.
Should be.
We'll see how that goes. And finally, Matthew McConaughey, he's doing Dark Tower, the Stephen King version of Lord of the Rings, right? But it's also with a Western, but it's also a horror movie. And he gave an interview where he talked about, wow, he had a choice, actually. He was looking at two screenplays. He had two offers. He could have done the Dark Tower or Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And he chose the Dark Tower over Guardians of the Galaxy. You guys want to take a guess why? He decided to do the Stephen King movie as opposed to the Guardians of the Galaxy sequel.
I mean, he would probably... I mean, if he did... He'd probably be a lead-ish character in this... in the Dark Tower series.
Think he'd be a bigger character?
As opposed to... He would probably just side be, character. You know, a side guy. You know, somebody you see in a scene or two. Or maybe three throughout the whole MCU.
That may be more accurate than his actual answer, though. That may be the truth of it as opposed to what he actually said. Do you have an idea, maybe?
Did he say, I don't read comic books?
I don't read I like comic books. I just don't read them.
I just look at the pictures. They're pretty.
I smoke a joint. I look at the pictures. No, he says, Matthew McConaughey, quote, I like Guardians of the Galaxy, but what I saw was it's successful, and now we've got room to make a colorful part for another big-name actor. I'd feel like an amendment. The Dark Tower script was well written. I like the director and his take on it, and I can be the creator, the author of The Man in Black, aka The Devil, in my version of the Stephen King novel. So while he doesn't allude to the size of the role, Drew, you are kind of on the right path there, where with The Dark Tower, since it's the first movie of a series, he gets to help take authorship of the character as opposed to stepping into something that's already established. And then just working like within someone else's sandbox. It's very similar to Michael Bay's reason for the reason he says Marvel stuff, he doesn't want to do Marvel or DC movies, because Michael Bay says he doesn't want to work in someone else's sandbox. He wants to create his own sandbox and put his own.
I want to play with my toys.
Yes, I don't want to play with
fuck your toys. My toys.
And you know what? He's Michael Bay,
so he can do that.
He's got access to them toys.
Yeah.
Guys, let's bring us to the end of the show. It is time for the lightning round. Let's do it.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time. For the lightning round.
Chico, you know how this goes. You've been on here plenty of times. Yeah. I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Ready.
Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Which one are you?
The ugly.
Number two, come with me if you want to live, or go with you if you want to.
Find Cheetos.
Number three, are we society's only protection?
So far.
Number four, the Lawn Rangers, or... Lawn and Order.
Lawn and Order.
Number five.
Lawn and Order's out there. Is it here locally?
I think the Lawn Rangers are also. Number five. Kickboxer or Bloodsport?
Bloodsport.
Number six. Buns of Steel or Abs of Gold?
Buns of Steel.
Number seven. Where does Captain America keep his wallet?
in behind the little hooky thing for the shield. There's a wallet holder.
It's a good spot.
Nice. Number eight. Why is there a Taken TV show?
I didn't know there was a Taken TV show.
There is. Why is there one? That's the question.
It's because we're running out of ideas.
Number nine. Would you fist fight someone on the roof of a building?
If I had to, yes.
And number 10. Who is Godzilla's son?
Mothra.
What? Illicit. Illicit. Drew. Swag bag time. Break out the bags. What we got? We got three bags here. We got purple. We got blue with polka dots. We got brown. Chico, which one of these three bags do you think you may want to go on with today?
Let's go with the one with the flowers.
All right, the flowery one. That's the other brown one. Drew, go ahead and break out the bag and tell Chico what you may get to go home
you
with.
You may get to go home with a Vintage Toys buzzer ring. Trick your friends. It's classic fun.
Nice. You shake their hand, you buzz them. They're like, oh my God, you tricked me.
Snow in a can. It's just add water. Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Just snow in a can.
Snow in a can. Just add water. We're down here in Florida, so we have to import our snow.
Makes three cans of synthetic snow. You can even make your own snowman buttons and ribbon included.
Do I add water to the buttons and ribbon?
No.
Maybe.
Is that in the instructions?
I think it's just instructions.
Oh, you got some $10 gift cards to Smoky Bones that expired.
Man, did they really expire?
Today.
Wait, let me see. Hold on, where does it say? Did they expire?
1-1-17.
Valid through 1-1-17.
Are they expired? I could run to Smoky Bones right now.
I was wrong.
Cash me.
I'm into this one. It doesn't work anymore now.
And a copy of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital download.
Did you say the bottle of the five? You said the bottle.
This is a completely different thing.
The bottle of the five armies.
The bottle of the five armies.
Yeah, they all get drunk.
Chico, instead. You can take the Blu-ray, the buzzer ring, the can of synthetic snow.
And a whole bunch of stickers.
And a whole bunch of stickers, or we put the bag away. And you take what Trisha Cogburn has in the box that's right over here.
What's in the box?
Box. I know you've taken whole bags and boxes. You've done them both. It is that time
box
again.
Box is always fucking with me. And last time I didn't choose the box, but the Hobbit, the bottle.
The bottle of the five armies.
I'm like, I think this is a completely different film, too.
It is.
Yeah.
They just get drunk the whole time.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, this could actually be really good.
Maybe the fifth army shows up this time. Who knows?
Ooh.
They get out of the bottle. Or you take what's in the box, what's in the box,
let's
what's
go
in
the box.
Box.
We're going with the box.
The box. Here we go. Go ahead and pop that top reach in there and see what's inside.
I got a rocket balloon.
There we go. Rocket balloons. Rocket balloons. Go ahead, Drew. Read it. What does it say?
Watch them fly. Hear them scream. Blow with tubes. Easy directions inside. Six balloons flying and screaming.
The balloon. You blow it up. You let it go. So you're flying around making a whistling noise. You can annoy your family. They're going to love it. We'll also make sure this guy gets some stickers as well, Drew.
These are condoms with a straw.
It pretty much just looks like a little kid blowing a condom. Doesn't it? It's a kid blowing a condom with a straw on the end of it.
You just gave him a box of condoms and two Coke straws.
So there you go. It's a box of, it's a box of Magnums with coffee stirrers.
Something in this box will get used today.
There you go.
I'm not going to tell you which.
Chico, thank you so much. We appreciate
it, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
We always appreciate it. You're a fun guest to have on. Drew, thank you.
Screw off.
Screw off. You screw off as well. Everyone, thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week with episode 209. Make sure you break up the big banks, read more books, be excellent to each other. Free Mumia Abu Jamal. And just be cool, guys, all right? Just be cool.